Roman controlled Britain in about 390 AD. But it wasn't long before barbarians from across the Irish Sea raided British coastal regions, taking many captives. Patrick was probably 16 years old when his village was attacked. He was taken captive here to the rugged shores of Northern Ireland. And he was sold as a slave shepherd to a local Druid chieftain. He was forced into bitter isolation, tending flocks as a slave shepherd here on Slemish Mountain. As Patrick faced his first months of loneliness, hunger, illness, and despair here on Slemish Mountain, he began seeking God. He later wrote, "I would pray constantly during the daylight hours, and the love of God surrounded me more and more." After six tough years in this area of Northern Ireland, totally relying upon God, Patrick wrote that he had a life-changing dream. The message, "Your hungers are rewarded. You are going home. Look, your ship is ready." So Patrick snubbed his fear of punishment, left his flocks, and walked 200 miles to the Irish coast, where indeed he found a ship. Patrick the fugitive traveled back over the Irish Sea to Britain. There, he joined a monastery and dedicated the next 20 years of his life to pursuing God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. After becoming a priest, Patrick couldn't deny his heart for the Irish people and his calling to return to them. At this point in history, about 432 AD, Ireland was dominated by full-scale barbarism. Nonetheless, Patrick wrote, "I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved, whatever come my way." He had to return for the Irish people that he loved. Patrick planted his first church in a barn in Northern Ireland. He went on to spend the next 30 years of his life preaching the gospel all around the treacherous island. In the end, Patrick is credited with baptizing 120,000 people and founding 300 churches in Ireland. St. Patrick's Cathedral here in Dublin is a fitting tribute to his incredible legacy. With the fall of the Western Roman Empire in 476 AD, it looked as if paganism might again get the better of Christianity when new adversaries, the Angles, Saxons, and Jutes, invaded Britain. Yet against the odds, Christianity survived. Missionary activity continued here in Ireland, and starting with Scotland, an Irish evangelist named Columba brought Patrick's style of Christianity to mainland Britain. 100 years after Patrick, Columba was considered the next great evangelist from Ireland. In 563, he put together a team of 12 missionaries, and he traveled north across these treacherous waters to western Scotland, and he founded a monastery on the Isle of Iona. Iona Abbey became the focal point for spreading the gospel in Scotland and is considered one of the oldest centers for scriptural study in Western Europe. Iona Abbey is still home to a Christian religious order and remains a popular pilgrimage site. During the decades following Columba, followers of the Columba movement continued planting monasteries throughout Ireland and Scotland. Despite growing pressures, the gospel continued to spread. Over 2,000 years ago, the man known as Jesus of Nazareth was born in the small town of Bethlehem in the land of Judea. His extraordinary life, brutal execution, and miraculous resurrection from the dead attest to the truth of his claim to be the only Son of God. This is the story of how Jesus, through the lives of his faithful followers, has become known around the world, impacting all of human history from the first century until today. This is Drive Through History, Ends of the Earth.
All right, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We'll be back on the other side to do the Daily Dispatch. Obviously, we've got Big Joe Kent news. But happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. What a glorious history to celebrate. We'll be right back. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. And a happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. I hope you're celebrating it by eating real food. Corned beef hash, something like that. We have a gigantic show for you today. Tiffany Cianci will be joining me in the third hour. And of course, we'll be talking quite a bit about big bombshell resignation from friend of the show, Joe Kent, and the various responses to his, moral objection to the Iran war. A very powerful statement that's inspiring some very powerful pushback. And we'll get into the paradigm at play here. But you can add him to the list of great patriots that Trump ushered in during his second administration, who have now one by one fallen by the wayside, either because they were screwed over internally by Democratic operatives like Ed Martin, was the one getting screwed over, right? He got screwed over there. Marjorie Taylor Greene, of course, being boxed out and, attacked by President Trump and resigning over that. Thomas Massie, another one who, and again, it all centers around Israel, because the whole time MAGA and the MAGA, the divide of MAGA, the infighting of MAGA, it's always and only ever been about Israel. The entire time. MAGA's pretty firmly, resolutely, unified on all the important things. Israel is the only outlier in all of it. And it always has been. And I've told the story before. I've mentioned this before. A lot of you were probably there at the time and saw it as well. But MAGA started as anti-Israeli. The Donald on Reddit, anywhere, Donald Trump supporters gathered. His opposition to the Middle East wars was a breath of fresh air and the thing that inspired a lot of us to vote for him. I can't tell you how many times I've told the story about, in 2016 arguing with leftists, and I just always had the same thing. Trump's anti-war. That's why I'm voting for him. They couldn't say anything about it. So that was always a characteristic of MAGA. It was always anti-Middle East war. In fact, Trump's first foray into American politics, the first splash he made, the first major event that separated him from the rest of the politicians, was his willingness on the debate stage to call out George W. Bush for getting us into war in Iraq over blatant lies. So the idea that there's even a split, there's never been a split. The entire time MAGA has existed, for the last 10 years and more, MAGA, the core Make America Great Again Trump supporters, have always opposed Middle East wars, have always opposed Israeli influence. And the whole time, it has been Israel trying to take it over, trying to maneuver themselves into the driver's seat, trying to infiltrate and capturing it for themselves. And if you were online in 2015, 2016, you saw how, major and important internet headquarters of Trump, like the Donald on Reddit, overnight suddenly became pro-Israel. Only when it was realized that Trump would likely be the victor, that's when everything started being pro-Israel. So it's been 10 years of this. It's just sort of come to a crossroads here because it's become intolerable and not just unproductive, but it is clearly the thing that is stopping us from getting anything else done. So this is a time to push harder than ever. I understand Joe Kent abandoning his post is how it's being perceived by a lot of people, that, well, you could have done good inside the, you know, administration than you could outside of it. I think this was the best choice for Joe Kent. I think this was a very powerful statement that is not only, you know, useful in just, again, reiterating the truth about this conflict, that it was perpetuated by Israel and America was brought into this war by Israel, and everybody currently arguing against Joe Kent or in favor of the war is also motivated entirely by Israel. I mean, that, this is just, it's just the way it is. Okay. So it's useful in illustrating that and in exactly what Joe Kent said in his letter. It's also useful in flushing out the bad guys. Yet again, we have yet another litmus test, just like Epstein was a litmus test, just like the war itself is a litmus test. To me, the resignation of Joe Kent is another one of these litmus tests. Are you a real person or are you a liar and a puppet for somebody else? Are you a genuine, sincere commentator on political matters or are you evil scum? That's sort of the dividing line as far as I can see it. And there's been some question about Joe Kent as well from the, you know, Fuentes camp. Donald Trump apparently called Joe Kent a CIA officer when he first hired him for the national security position that he was in. And it was never made public that he was a CIA officer, and that may have been Trump saying something he wasn't really supposed to say. But looking at the whole landscape and knowing what I know about Joe Kent, I mean, we've had him on the show. I've talked to him personally. Like, he's the real deal. As far as I know, he's absolutely the real deal. Everybody I know that knows him says he's the real deal. Just like Tucker Carlson is the real deal. Does he have some connections to the CIA? He might. He very well might. Is this all a giant CIA operation? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think this is legit. I think this is real. I think this is completely at odds with what the powers that be want to be happening. And you can see the way they're freaking out and flipping out. The leftists who support the war in Iran are calling Joe Kent a Nazi. The right-wingers are calling him woke, and he's in favor of Iran. I mean, the whole thing is kind of ridiculous. So I'll just lay it out for you how it's actually happening. I'll just tell you what's actually going on. So, like I said, Joe Kent is the real deal. He is absolutely, like, it's, I don't know, man. It's weird because this happens quite a bit in the right wing where people don't, I don't know, it's like a lot of people don't know how to tell real from fake, and it's like, okay, Joe Kent did 11 tours of duty. His wife died overseas in a Middle East war. He's the real deal. Like, he just is, okay? I don't know what else to tell you. It enters into the realm of absurdity when people are making accusations against people like Joe Kent, as if breaking with the president, resigning your job, possibly destroying any chance you have in the future of the Republican Party that's Israeli dominated. You know how insane the Jewish lobby is and will try to destroy anybody over anything. They're already talking about sending Joe Kent to prison for this, like very openly, and you know, they have the power to do it. They can manipulate things like that. The idea that he would do this for what, money? You think he's being paid? Like, what do you think the motivation is if it's not sincere? What could it possibly be? Again, this is just where it gets ridiculous. We're like, if you've been a Trump supporter for 10 years, you should have more of a say than people who joined in 2024. Is this not obvious? If you're a Ben Shapiro type and wrote articles about how you would never vote for Trump, who described Trump in exactly the same way that you're now describing Tucker Carlson, do you really think they are on your side? Like, this is not a difficult question to answer. It is not hard to see who's on the good side and who's on the bad side. It's actually hard to believe that anybody's getting it wrong. That's actually the hard thing to believe. The hard thing to even understand is why people, when faced with such, you know, obvious division between good and bad, why they feel like they can trick everybody and not just ruin their own reputation. Like, that's what everybody needs to understand. If you're an Israeli operative right now, like Mark Levin, if you think that going after Joe Kent makes him look bad, then keep doing it. Keep trying. Again, it's like when Donald Trump comes out and says, everybody, you know, stop being mean to Mark Levin. That doesn't make us think that Mark Levin is cool. It makes us think that Donald Trump is an idiot. Do you understand what I mean? That they think that by getting Trump to comment, it's going to imbue Mark Levin with the gravitas of Trump and everybody who loves Trump. Like, maybe they believe their own lies. They genuinely do think, like, yeah, these stupid Trump supporters, they just believe anything Trump says. Have him say it. Have Trump say the thing we want everybody to believe, and then they'll all have to believe it. And it's like, this is not how this works, even a little bit. We're not actually the left. We don't actually hero worship anybody. Some do, but that's because they're being paid. So when you try to impart Trump's gravitas on Mark Levin, you're not helping Mark Levin, you're just hurting Donald Trump. Trump's hurting. Trump is collapsing across the board. And again, this needs to not only be an American thing, this really needs to be like an opportunity for worldwide action against these networks that are not only sent America into war in the Middle East, but also, of course, are there in Europe, bringing all the people from the Middle East into there to create another Muslim kingdom that will eventually also be given the Gaza treatment. So it is happening to a certain degree, just naturally. This is why I'm pushing harder, and, you know, it's a deliberate strategic move on my part. As I said during the Alex Jones show, the enemy's ranks are wavering, right? They're buckling under the strain. Now, in war, when you have the enemy army's line starts to waver, starts to falter, starts to give way, that's when you send in the cavalry charge. That's when you shatter them completely. That's when you force them to rout and you run them down individually. And that's where 90% of the fatalities in warfare took place back in the day when you would have lines of soldiers fighting each other like that. So that's where we are at this point. Their line is faltering. Their line is wavering. They're trying to, I don't know, do some sort of controlled retreat, but it's not working. Now is the time to drive forward and to push this forward and to explain to everybody, like, all of these issues have a singular source. It's all the Israeli lobby. If we can solve this problem, all the other problems will cease to exist. And that really is how it works. And at this point, the claims of like anti-Semitism are so pointless that it doesn't even matter if people make them. Everybody knows what's happening. Everybody gets what's going on. It is absurd to even try to make the claim that Joe Kent is un-American. All of you people are dedicated to foreign powers. We all see it, and it's not fooling anybody. So I think we need to make Zionism illegal. I literally think we need to treat Zionism like some sort of support of a terrorist network. Like right now, it's not legal in America to send money to ISIS, right? Why should you be able to send money to Israel? We don't have any ISIS lobbies trying to convince our country to send money to ISIS, right? That's what the CIA is for. But no, it's not allowed. We need to do that for Zionism. And look, anybody of any race, color, and creed that wants to join us in this mission to free America from the pernicious and subversive influence of foreign actors is more than welcome to join us. But anybody of any race, color, and creed who fights for this subversive element, you're the enemy. That's just how it is. So yeah, it's not about hatred of a group of people. It's about hatred of a certain mindset that anybody can have and anybody can reject. So it's up to you to reject it. And we really got to push with this, for this with all of our might. I really think now is the time that we can come together on this. All Americans of every political stripe. Can we all agree that we don't want to be controlled by Mark Levin? I think every American in the world besides Mark Levin, Laura Loomer, and Donald Trump himself think Mark Levin is an odious cretin, a subversive scumbag. So let's all come together and just be like, these people like Mark Levin and Laura Loomer, like they should not even be allowed to be in our country. They certainly shouldn't be anywhere near the halls of power. And really, at the end of the day, we'd just be better off without them. Does anybody disagree? I mean, would anybody be upset if instead of spending the last year and a half fighting over the Epstein files and going to war with Iran, like if instead we focused on American concerns like mass deportations and punishing the deep state. I mean, would anybody be mad about that? Would anybody be upset? Does anybody think that we'd be, you know, not better served if we'd paid less attention to Israel? I mean, the whole thing has become impossible to allow to continue. So we have to stop it. We have to shatter the grip that they have on American politics. Like, I wouldn't even try to, but literally just happens to be the first story in my set. Trump's religious inner circle implodes as beauty queen's firing sparks revolt and spiritual advisor faces shocking Israel claim. Like, everything about this has become ridiculous. They kicked a Catholic woman off the religious tolerance committee because she refused to support Israel. We can't even have basic religious tolerance in this country without the Israelis demanding supremacy, demanding silence of their critics. It's gotten to like cartoonish levels. So again, let's just come together on this. Like, who supports Israel? Like, people who are paid and Israelis, like, who cares about them? Send them all to Israel. I had a guy, Max Nordau, who apparently is like, I don't know, apparently that account is fake. I don't know. People were doing research into it. He said, you know, I said the same thing on X. I said, you know, Zionism should be illegal. It should be criminalized brutally, like forcefully criminalized. The entire concept, just like any other terrorist organization would be criminalized. Max Nordau says, well, what about me? I support Israel. Like, okay, bye. Yeah, you can go back there. You can be sent back there. Did you think that was a gotcha or something? No, you should be sent to Israel if you support Israel. And get killed by Iran. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun for you? It's all about this. Everything always ends up on this topic for good reason, because it's the source and the font and the progenitor of, basically 99% of the problems that we experience right now, including the problem that we can't just solve the normal problems, right? Because the people that are in charge of our country right now genuinely do not care about America, genuinely want America to go down because they see it as dangerous, because it is a rival power faction to themselves. Even though they've taken it over, even though America serves them like to an endless degree, it's not good enough, and they're destroying America. Yeah, Mark Levin is a subversive and tyrannical scum. It's in his DNA. And this is the thing. If they can say anti-Semitism is in our DNA, I'm just going to run with that. I'm just going to go with that. Because apparently that means that your DNA can like hard code in like mindsets and behavior and attitudes. So is it the DNA? Is that the problem? Is it Mark Levin's DNA? Is it Laura Loomer's DNA? I mean, if that's where you want to take it, is that where we should take it? Like, we just need to stop being nice to these people. They're not nice. They're not good. They're not decent. They're not smart. They're not congenial. They're not charitable. They are just bad. Mark Levin is just a massive drain on our country, on our attention. Like, why am I even having to talk about this right now? Because we're at war with Iran? Because we're run by Israel? Because Mark Levin and Laura Loomer somehow have more power than Thomas Massie? Like, it's intolerable. It can't go on. It has to stop. And I'm willing to take it to whatever level is necessary to achieve that. Because what we're talking about here is our existence as not just a country, but as like humanity as a whole. I mean, I got some video. You know, I got some videos that explain this pretty well, actually, if I can go to some of these. I think I can lay all of this out. I think I can explain to you, at least to some degree, how bad Israel truly is. Let me go first to clip 21 here. Just while we're at it, you know, just so you know that they are, in fact, carrying out yet another act of ethnic cleansing in Lebanon. Let's go to clip 29 here. We just have time. Clip 29. What's happening right now in America and overseas in the Middle East, everything occurring right now is because the Zionists have gotten everything that they've ever wanted. Go to clip 29.
This is what it looks like when you give Zionists everything they want. This is Zionism put into practice. The wars, the massacres, the bombed out schools and hospitals, the millions of displaced individuals, the invasion of Lebanon, the explosions carpeting Tehran, the hollowed out moonscape of Gaza, the horrific pogroms in the West Bank, the child amputees, the smell of rotting corpses, the assassinated doctors and journalists, the blackened sky and the poisoned water, the nonstop deluge of brain-melting propaganda, the aggressive promotion of Islamophobia and anti-Arab racism, the erosion of free speech rights throughout the Western world, the corrupt warmongering politicians, the legions of online Hasbara trolls, the soaring fuel prices, money which could pay for social services, buying bombs for Israel instead. All the death, destruction, instability, and suffering that's being visited upon countless civilians throughout West Asia. This is Zionism. This is what it looks like when you apply the political ideology of forcibly imposing the existence of a Jewish ethno-nationalist apartheid state on historic Palestine. This is it. You're looking at it. There is no alternate reality version of Zionism where all these nightmares are not happening. There is no other kind of Zionism out there waiting in the wings. The liberal Zionist fantasy of a peaceful, egalitarian Israel is just that, a fantasy. It has never existed in real life. In real life, Israel cannot exist without nonstop violence and abuse. It's like a house that will fall down if it's not in a constant state of construction. At some point, you realize the house should never have been built where it was built, and that steps need to be taken to rectify this error. Zionism is a failed experiment. How do we know? Look around you.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvisjonesshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvisjonesshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvisjonesshow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvisjonesshow.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is the War Room, continuing to document the fallout from Joe Kent and his resignation. Now, since his resignation, a lot of people have come out going, well, you know he's a leaker. Well, you know he should be investigated, actually, and actually he should maybe go to prison. It's like, okay, if you actually believed that, you probably would have said it before he quit, huh? I guess anything that you say now about what he has been doing is kind of invalid because it's obviously just a response to his resignation letter. You understand that, right? That, like, we don't believe you. I don't believe you that as soon as this guy resigns and says this war was started at the behest of Israel, that all of a sudden you remember that, oh, wait, this guy's a criminal and should be investigated, actually. Actually, he's probably a foreign spy. And again, enough of the Israelis telling us that we have to worry about foreign operations in our country. It's like, you are the enemy. You are the bad guys. Okay. So we get it. We all get it. It's kind of unfortunate because the right wing is so captured. The right wing is so taken over by Israel. It occurred in 2024 because they decided that for the existence of Israel, that's what they had to do. And I'll show you videos that prove all of this. But the sad thing is that part of this, and we identified this very early on, the purpose of it was to destroy the Republican Party. It's the best outcome for the people that are pushing this. Remember, the people that came over to Trump in 2024, the big tech people who came over specifically because of Israel, they're all progressives. They're all socialists. They all are the very ones who were pushing the depopulation agenda and the replacement agenda and the migration agenda and the LGBTQ and, you know, Larry Flink at BlackRock pushing the ESG scores. Like, this is all them. That's them doing this. Why would they do that if they love America? Like, so they've spent decades systematically breaking down the fundamental strength of America. But then they sign on to Trump and suddenly they're MAGA and we have to listen to them. No, no. They want America destroyed. They've spent decades trying to destroy America. Now they've taken over the Republican Party because the Republican Party was that bulwark that was against them. Now they control it. Now it's being destroyed and deliberately, deconstructed so that in 6 months, the Democrats will sweep the midterms. They'll impeach Trump. Trump will pay the price. I mean, they got their war. They don't need Trump anymore. So he'll be cast to the side and impeached and probably imprisoned. And then when the next Democrat president arrives in 2028, they'll open the border. They'll flood. And this is all happening because the Republicans, who cobbled together an amazing coalition on very powerful pro-America policies in 2024, have abandoned all of those policies, have betrayed that coalition, and have nothing to show for them. So all of this was deliberate. So if you're a bad guy that hates America and loves Israel, and you can put on the cloak, put on the mask of a Republican, use the Republican Party to go to war with Israel simultaneously, or with Iran for Israel, simultaneously destroying your enemy there in the Middle East while irreparably crippling the domestic party that stands up against you, it's a win-win situation. It is a combo, destroy America and use America to destroy Iran, combination attack that we're suffering under. And it sucks that this is the situation, but we got to not support the Republicans. I'm fully on board the Nick Fuentes thing now. 100%. I think he's exactly right. I think we cannot reward the betrayers. I keep having this argument online. It's not our fault that they betrayed us. It's not our fault that we've been abused. And the appropriate response to the abuse, the appropriate response to the betrayal, is to not trust those people anymore. So if you're mad that we don't trust the Republican Party, be mad that they lied. If you're mad that we're not supporting Trump, be mad that Trump started the Iran war. That's the problem here. That's the issue. That's what's causing all of the problems, not our reaction to it. Our reaction to it is appropriate and based in facts. The other side can't even decide what lie they're running with, so they just say them all. It's crazy. But I say all this is an intro to this video because this is a couple of far left socialists that 99% of the time I despise everything they say, but they seem to have a pretty good reading of the Joe Kent situation. Because at least in this one instance, they aren't lying to protect Israel. And apparently that's all that's necessary, you know, to tell the truth, is you just aren't an establishment figure of one sort or the other. So let's go to clip 20 here. Sagar Injeti? What the hell was that? Hold on. What was that? Did Trump really say that? Was that yesterday? Trump draws backlash for comment on Iran war. Maybe we shouldn't even be there. Yeah, maybe. Yesterday at 10:30, he said this. Like, this is why it's so funny. It's like they want to act like, first of all, saying the Iran war is Israel's fault is some sort of betrayal or like anti-Semitism. It's like, okay, then tell that to Marco Rubio and Donald Trump, because they keep saying it. They've said it over and over. They want to say that if you're against this Iraq war, or if you're against the Iran war, you're not MAGA. It's like, I guess Trump isn't MAGA either. Trump's like, what are we doing in Iran? Trump's like, this was the dumbest thing anybody's ever done. We're at war with Iran? What a stupid idea. You know they're going to close the straits, right? And we're all like, wait, what? Yeah. Dude, you did it. What? What are we talking about? I didn't even see that. So yesterday Trump said we shouldn't even be in Iran. I'm going to go lay down. We play this clip. This is some socialist idiot that happens to be right because we're controlled by dumbass Israelis. Let's watch.
This is the National Director of Counterterrorism, highest security clearance in the entire United States government. Iran posed no threat to the United States. Number one. Number two, Israel is the person manipulating intelligence, Israel pro-war lobby. Those are the people who convinced you in order to go into war with this, into war with Iran. This is one of the most shocking resignations of the entire Trump administration. I think it might be the first, like, real big one.
Yeah.
Of somebody who was aligned with the America First movement. And let's consider the consequences here. They're going to try and destroy this man. I guarantee you they will try to indict him. They're going to say he breached his, security clearance by sharing information. He was never a real patriot. He was somebody, you know, MAGA or a snake, something like that, anti-Semite. The full stop of the pro-war machine and the U.S. government are going to destroy this man. Just watch and wait. And especially if he starts going on the podcast circuit and talking, do not forget, you know, that this is somebody who deployed to combat multiple times, special operations background, Gold Star husband, doesn't matter. They're going to do everything that they possibly can. But this should be wall-to-wall news. We never even really had high-profile resignations like this under Iraq. And, I mean, I think the fact that you have a high-level security official with the top security clearance saying this is Israel's war, that they manipulated the intelligence, that you're making a huge mistake, that they pose no imminent threat to the United States, you have to ask seriously how about how all of the lies that have been told by this White House. And I think second, what did he know to have to resign at this point? He knew no end in sight. And
yeah.
That's why he decided to do it now. So it is a stunning development to see right now.
Yeah. And
as far as I know, a perfect reading of the situation. He's exactly right. I'm not even sure when he made that prediction, but it's already come true. They are already just everything he listed. He's an anti-Semite. He's un-American. He, you know, was passing classified information. We have to investigate him and throw him in prison. I mean, literally going down the list, which is how you know it's not sincere. Joe Kent is sincere. They have to project some sort of ulterior motive on him, even though it's not necessary. That's why, okay. I honestly can't even talk about this anymore because it's all so ridiculous. It's so obvious what's happening. There is an Israeli infiltration to our government and they run everything and they're mad that people are noticing. Like, that's it. That's just what's happening. Like, I cannot bear to like actually go through freaking Mark Levin or any of these other people. Like, it doesn't matter what they are just interlopers, subversive usurpers, and they should be removed. And I refuse to even like read their statements and give them the courtesy of that because they don't deserve it because it's obvious what's happening. Anybody claiming that Israel is not responsible for us going to Iran. Again, it's like I'm having to try to argue that the sky is blue. Like, do you understand what it would be like if I had to sit up here and be like, when you look out your window, what do you see? Is it blue? That's the sky. Is it the thing above you that you can't touch? It's way up there. That's the sky. It's the color blue. We define that color as blue. It's like, it's just obvious. It's imminently observable to anybody who's honest. So anybody saying anything else is either lying or is like an absolute idiot who does not know anything, who is being fed bullshit and is gulping it down by the truckload. Like, that is it. It's like infuriating and enraging that these people even try to make these arguments. Glenn Beck, Joe Kent, a top counterterrorism official, resigned today claiming that Trump was duped by Israel into starting a war with Iran. Okay, Joe, where's the evidence? The consequence of claims like this are too dire not to be backed up with facts. Well, the president said it. The Secretary of State said it. The senators who were privy to classified settings, they said it. What are you talking about? And look, it's the same in every single comment section. Go to anything Mark Levin has ever posted. Go to anything Mike Huckabee has ever posted. There is no one who's buying their crap except for themselves and bots. And like that really, you know, the other side has to make ridiculous claims that we are bots because they see how overwhelming the sentiment is against them. So they have to come up with cope for that. They have to go, wow, 1,000 comments and 999 of them are negative. These must be bots. See, we don't have to do that because there's only like 3 people online that support this stuff. And whether they're bots or not doesn't even matter. They're so outnumbered by us real people that it's inconsequential. And yet they're in power and yet they control everything. And this is the thing that I know secondhand, right? I know people who've gone for jobs in the White House, things like that. You know, you have to go through multiple layers of interviews, right? Just like any high profile position. You're not just getting it off one interview. They're not just hiring you off Craigslist, right? You gotta show your bona fides. You gotta give them access to everything. I mean, it's pretty intense getting a job at one of these higher levels. And every single person that conducts an interview is an Israeli dual citizen. I'm not kidding. And I've talked to people who said in the interviews, every other question is about Israel. And they're sitting here going, I thought I was trying to join the United States Army. Why is this person why is this entire interview focused on gleaning and sussing out my position on Israel? It's like, do you understand this Joe Kent resignation? One of the reasons why it's inspiring such outrage is because it's being seen as a betrayal. Because he was never supposed to get in this position if this is how he felt. Anybody who works in the government has been thoroughly vetted to make sure they wouldn't do this type of thing. How did he get through? How did their security system fail to allow a guy with morals and backbone into a position of power? It's all supposed to be pudgy, spineless, idiot, scumbag retards like Mark Levin. How did a smart, intelligent American man get in? This is bad. They're probably freaking out. There's probably other people who are like having their security clearances pulled from this because they're like, we need to make sure everybody else is not going to do this to us too. Like, you understand the fact that Joe Kent was even in the position to make this resignation in and of itself is a miracle because he was never supposed to be there because they're supposed to vet these people out of the process before it ever gets to that level. Do you understand the situation our country is in? It gets worse. Because it gets worse. And of course, it's not just destroying the Republican Party. It is destroying America as a whole. But just to, like, the reason I'm on this so much is because I see so many people online saying that Joe Kent, like, I got some pulled up here, actually. Joe Kent resigning and immediately pivoting to blaming Israel for everything is as predictable as it is unserious. Why is it predictable? Because it's true. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't exactly be predictable, would it? Something, if he resigned and said, I'm resigning because we're controlled by Mozambique, that would be surprising. That would be crazy. Okay, that wouldn't be predictable because it's not true. You understand, sort of a different version of like the thing I always say where hate speech is when the stereotype meets reality, right? You're not going to be told that you're doing hate speech or being bigoted if you like characterize a black person as a dentist, right? But if you characterize a Jewish person as a banker, that's bad. Well, it's because it's more true. So this is kind of another one of those things. It's like, the bad thing Joe Kent did was say the truth. He could have said anything else. If he'd blamed this on Iran, if he blamed it on Muslims, if he blamed, like, whatever, it doesn't matter. It would have been fine. But he happened to say the thing that was true, and that's why they're mad. That's why they're angry. It's eminently predictable because it is true. He's blaming Israel because we can all see that Israel got us into this war, and it was admitted by the very people who made the decision. So what are we doing here? What are we talking about? He goes on, this is a representative in Congress. Scapegoating Israel isn't just a tired anti-Semitic trope, See, anti-Semitic trope, hate speech, right? An anti-Semitic trope, a.k.a. reality. It's anti-American. Now, you're anti-American if you don't want to send more young men and women to die overseas. Kent's reduction to Iran of Iran to Israel's fault isn't leadership. It's bigoted deflection. No, it's just the truth. It is just the truth. Like, why do you think you would say this if it wasn't the truth? Like, what? Again, this is why I refuse to even, like, really delve into this stuff. It's just, like, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. What he says is, Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. Duh. Duh. The sky is blue, gravity pulls things towards the earth, and Israel got us into conflict with Iran. Again, it's just, you should be insulted by anybody telling you otherwise. Now, this has been going around. This is different. This is the problem. There's so much misinformation around. So Caroline Levitt put out a tweet. Part of the tweet said, to be clear, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did. Okay. She did not say that about Iran. She said that about the claims that Iran was going to use drones to attack California by using a boat to send drones at California and the California coast. She was saying that's ridiculous, that nobody ever said that was going to happen. So, again, you're not going to get spin from me. I'm not just going to, like, grab things that I think are going to help my argument, even if they're untrue. If it's untrue, I'm going to tell you it's untrue. Caroline Levitt never said there was no threat from Iran. She said this was not a real threat from Iran, talking specifically about the claims of drones from California. Don't try to mess with my integrity, crew. I know these things. I've looked into this stuff. This is Caroline Levitt. There are many false claims in this letter, but let me address one specifically that Iran. So this is the response to Joe Kent's letter, that Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. This is the same false claim the Democrats and some in the liberal media have been repeating over and over, as President Trump has clearly and explicitly stated he had strong and compelling evidence. Wait, he never said that. He said he had a feeling. He never said he had evidence. What evidence? The evidence was compiled from many sources and factors. Okay, name them. Like, what are you talking about? President Trump would never make the decision to deploy military assets for no reason. But he did. He did, and actually, and we have, like, so, okay. What the hell are you talking about, lady? Should we go to President Trump himself? Like, this is why I feel like I'm going insane. We literally have, like, 10 videos of President Trump saying it was Israel was the reason we were going into Iran. He himself has acknowledged there was no imminent threat. He thought he was like, yeah, maybe, and they could have. What are we talking about? You know, a lot of people are saying that Bibi must be dead. Otherwise, the White House would have better messaging. Maybe the reason the White House is spinning around like a chicken with its head cut off, not don't know what the hell to say, is contradicting itself in the very same sentence. Maybe it's because they aren't being directed by Bibi Netanyahu because he got by the Iranians. I don't know if that's true, but it would explain it, wouldn't it? But hell, let's go to Trump yesterday. Should we go to Trump talking about this literally yesterday? Clip 8. Let's watch.
Zero. We don't need oil. We have all the oil we need for ourselves. It's one of the great assets that we have. We have more than double what anybody else in terms of oil production. We're at more than double any other country. So we don't need it, but we did it. It's almost, you could say we did it out of habit.
We did it out of habit.
Which is not a good thing to do. But we did it because we have some good allies there. We have some great Middle Eastern countries there, Israel there. So we did it for a lot of reasons. But
yeah, we did it for a lot of reasons. You know, Israel's there. So a lot of reasons. I mean, we have allies there like Israel. So, I mean, there were plenty of reasons to do it. Like, I mean, Israel is there for one thing. Like, they could have attacked Israel. So, you know, I mean, there was a ton of reasons to do it. But it was Israel. So, you know. Thank God we finally have a president who's doing something about it. No threat to our homeland of Iran launching drone offensive on the West Coast, dumbass. The nuclear threat of a psychotic murderous regime is very real, however. Is it? Because nobody else says it is. In fact, there was a story today from the UK where there was a member of the UK government that was actually there at the final discussion with Iran, at the final negotiations, and they just came out with an article saying verbatim that there was no threat that they were reaching a deal and that the attaché, the British attaché, observing all of it, said it was Israel that pressured him into it. This is from, I think it's from The Guardian, right? It's from a, The Guardian. UK security advisor attended US-Iran talks and judged Israel, and judged a deal was within reach. Jonathan Powell thought Tehran's surprising offer on its nuclear program could prevent a rush to war, sources say. Britain's national security advisor, Jonathan Powell, attended the final talks between the US and Iran and judged that the offer made by Tehran on its nuclear program was significant enough to prevent a rush to war, The Guardian can reveal. It goes on to describe what it was like. The UK team were surprised by what the Iranians put on the table, the former official said. It was not a complete deal, but it was progress, and it was unlikely to be the Iranians' final offer. The British team expected the next round of negotiations to go ahead based on the progress made in Geneva. The UK saw no compelling evidence of an imminent threat to the Iranian to an Iranian missile attack on Europe or of Iran seeking a nuclear weapon. This is the first time it's become clear that Britain was so closely involved in the talks or had such a good reason to decide whether diplomatic options had been exhausted and the U.S. attack was necessary. So, again, it's like, okay, who says it was Israel? Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, British people that were there observing the talks. I mean, who else? Everybody, literally everybody. Okay. Who's saying that it was Israel that pushed us to do this? Again, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, all of them. So Joe Kent says that, and that makes him an anti-Semite? Why, because they're all Jewish? That doesn't make any sense. No, we're allowed to be against things, no matter who they are. Because once again, we're just in this situation that we're always constantly in, where we talk about bad people doing bad things, regardless of who they are, and then if they happen to be Jewish, a bunch of people come out and defend them on that basis. We aren't attacking them on that basis, but that is the way in which they are defended. And this article ends with this sentence. One diplomat with knowledge of the talks said, quote, "We regarded Witkoff and Kushner as Israeli assets that dragged the president into a war he wants to get out of." When we get back on the other side, I'll show you a video of Steve Witkoff basically admitting that in public. Just like he admitted with the dual interview with Jared Kushner for ABC News, where he said we'd been planning this Gaza operation for 2 years. AKA since before the attack of October 7th. You think they planned Gaza 2 years ago and didn't plan it leading to Iran, and that this isn't all part of a gigantic multi-stage operation being run out of Israel? Of course it is. Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff, Mark Levin, Laura Loomer, they're Israeli agents here to push this on us.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better. At thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
folks. Welcome back. Tulsi Gabbard has responded to Joe Kent's resignation. She, of course, was his immediate boss, really the only person over him. And I'll go to that just a second. I do want to go to this video, though, since I set it up. Clip 13 here. This is Steve Witkoff giving a speech at some sort of Jewish organization where he talks about sort of his motivation and what's driving him. So, again, this is Steve Witkoff, who was the lead negotiator for America against Iran. Here he is giving a speech to a bunch of Israelis. Let's watch.
We must also address the threat posed by Iran. Iran must never be permitted to enrich uranium or develop any nuclear capability.
Amen. Amen.
This is where I ad-lib. I get off the teleprompter and I say, I wish my 93-year-old Jewish mom from the Bronx was here because Yossi Cohen, the ex-head of the Mossad, just clapped for me. A nuclear Iran represents an existential threat to Israel, as does an Iran with a large amount of missiles. That is as big an existential threat as the nuclear threat. And this is an existential threat to the United States and the free world and the entire GCC. We must stand resolute and united against this danger and ensure that Iran never obtains the means to achieve its deadly ambitions, no matter what the cost.
No matter what the cost, right? I mean, hell, you got to destroy America, small price to pay. You got to destroy the Republican Party, kind of a bonus, actually, not even a bad thing. So that's Steve Witkoff, again, head lead negotiator for America, talking about how he wished his dead mom was still alive so she could see the ex-head of Mossad clapping for him. I'm sorry, what? Like, do you, again, I feel like people like Steve Witkoff think that's normal. They think like everybody would understand that. And of course, everybody there understood it by their clapped. Like, do you understand how that means you're like not an American? That's like not an American thing to say. No American would ever think that it was cool that the ex-head of Mossad was clapping for them. I cannot even imagine being like, oh my God, my mom would be so proud of me. The ex-head of the murder squad is happy for me. It's like, you're a traitor. You're actually a traitor. And that really reveals all of it. And again, he's just like, you know, Iran can't have nuclear weapons. Their ballistic missiles are just as dangerous as their nuclear weapons because, you know, Israel won't survive. So the lead negotiator for America is just straight up an Israeli. And Jared Kushner, who, again, it was like the best family friends with Netanyahu and himself, again, Israeli dual citizen. So it's just like, oh, gee, I wonder why things went the way they did. I wonder why we, you know, went to war with Iran. Could it have anything to do with the fact that our lead negotiators deliberately screwed them over, screwed us over, screw the world over because any price is worth it? Because absolutely any price is worth saving Israel from the consequences of their own actions and the justice that they have earned and deserve extremely well. We're going to keep talking about this because this is the issue. Why is our government staffed entirely with Israelis? Why do we allow that? Israel is a foreign country. It's not our country. We have completely different goals and values and beliefs. And no American who's really an American would ever cheer at being applauded by the head of Mossad. Ridiculous.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on The War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From Liam McCollum on X at M. Liam McCollum. If you were in a coma, this is a guy from Zero Hedge. If you were in a coma for the last 10 years and woke up today, which camp do you think you would guess is currently most aligned with America First, MAGA, and Donald Trump? Would it be Camp 1, who's Tucker Carlson, Joe Kent, Megyn Kelly, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Joe Rogan, and Thomas Massey? Or Camp 2, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio? 10 years ago, all of these people were desperately doing everything they possibly could to destroy Donald Trump. Now they run Donald Trump. 10 years ago, Ben Shapiro was saying everything that he currently says about Tucker, he was saying about Donald Trump. It doesn't matter to them. They opposed Trump at the time because they thought he would be bad for Israel. You understand? That 10 years ago, that was behind their motivation to not support Trump. And the reason they support Trump now is the same motivation. Do you understand? They never thought Trump would have been bad for America. Ted Cruz, you know, didn't think Trump would be bad for America. They thought he'd be bad for Israel. They thought that he be too nationalistic, be too pro-America. And yet they're running things now. They're actually running things now. So, I mean, it really goes on and on. I want to go to some old clips of Joe Kent just so, again, you can be reminded that what he did by resigning is not a change in behavior, and it's obviously not compelled by anything other than his genuine honor and sense of duty and moral outrage at the absurd retardation of going to war with Iran because Israel wanted us to. I want to go to a few videos. Let's go to clip 16 first. This is Joe Kent years ago on the Tucker Carlson Network talking about what war with Iran would look like in the future. Let's watch.
They're attempting to make us sacrifice our republic for an empire that does nothing for the American people.
Amen. So nicely put it. I would recommend, you know, the famous Eisenhower speech at the end of his term around 1960 or 61, the military industrial complex speech is worth watching. So let me ask you one last question because he called it 60 years ago. You referred to what a war with Iran would do to the United States. And I don't know that a lot of people in this country fully understand what Iran is as a nation state. It's not Afghanistan. What do you think the immediate and then longer term effects of a war with Iran would be on the United States?
Immediately, it would be very bloody. I have no doubt that we could probably defeat some of their air defense and go in there and have another shock and awe campaign. But again, like we saw how the shock and awe campaign in Iraq really didn't actually work in the long run. So I have no doubt that we'd have some immediate results that people would cheer about here in the United States. But Iran Persia has always been an empire. It's been around longer than any of the other players in the modern Middle East right now, and they are not going anywhere. And right now, Iran has a lot of internal problem. They have a lot of internal strife with the Ayatollah, and that government has only been in power since 1979. But again, if we start conducting strikes in Iran, everyone in Iran will rally around their leader, and they will become even more revolutionary. And then we will have Iranian proxies throughout the entire region that will be conducting attacks just like we had in Jordan. And really, in the long term, Tucker, the axis that has been built really since Putin invaded Russia and we decided that since Putin invaded Ukraine and we decided we were going to throw this massive sanctions package at them, China has come in as a major player, and we are deeply compromised by China. They control a lot of our economy. They control global manufacturing. They're deeply embedded in Wall Street, and they've also made deals with the Iranians. They want access to Iranian petro, not to mention the fact that Biden killed off U.S. energy independence, and now he's going after LNG, and the world's biggest LNG exporters are Iran, Russia, and Qatar. So this axis would become very powerful. If we get deeply involved and deeply entangled with Iran, we are playing right into China's hands, because China would like nothing more than for us to be committing our military industrial base to a war in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, and then to be committing our conventional military power, our blood and our treasure, back in the Middle East. That will make the Pacific, our actual border, extremely vulnerable to Chinese aggression. Or China will simply just watch us bleed out economically as we bleed out on the battlefield on these couple different theaters. It's absolute insanity. It's opening up Pandora's box. And again, for what gain to the American people?
Hey, yeah, good point. Good point, Joe. Ken, it seems like he was dead on and exactly right about all of that. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Good luck, Mark Levin. You know, good luck, Ben Shapiro. Good luck, you subversive foreign traitors. Good luck trying to make Joe Kent look like he's anti-Semitic or whatever other claim you can. Just make them all. Doesn't matter. We know what is really going on. Joe Kent understands foreign policy. He understands the consequences, not just strategically at the national level, but at the personal level, as after all, his wife died serving overseas while their children were still very young. And you can't imagine the amount of suffering this man has been through for the sake of his patriotism. And again, this is why, like, we're talking about this the whole time. This is why it's important. There may be, you know, Tucker Carlson was a great example, right, of the type of person that Mark Levin hates, that Laura Loomer hates, an American patriot Christian who just says the truth. And, like, that's enough. Right. That's enough to make him enemy number one. He should be killed. They think he should die because he's not willing to compromise his own morals for their, aggressive expansion of their ethnostate. Joe Kent might be even better. Joe Kent might be even more of a fantastic example and comparison to put up to the likes of Mark Levin. Why are these pudgy, soft, rage-filled, psychotic foreigners have more power than patriotic Americans who have put their lives on the line for the United States? Like, if you could throw up a picture of Mark Levin and Joe Kent, it's like that's all the argument that needs to be made. I don't even have to. We can just play we'll just play Irish music. We'll just show you a picture of Joe Kent on one side and a picture of Mark Levin on the other. And it's like, there's your argument. There's your answer right there. That's it. That's all of it. So Joe Kent obviously understood Iran. He obviously understood the consequences of war with Iran. He also, by the way, was one of the only people in the American government actually trying to investigate foreign involvement in the Charlie Kirk assassination. But of course, that was shut down from on high. Let's go to this next clip, 7, where Joe Kent is talking about the Ukrainian war. So this was years ago. Here's him talking about how the Ukraine war got started and who's at fault. Let's watch.
We are already sleepwalking and sliding towards World War III with Russia. Why? Because the elites, the establishment, they want war. It's profitable and it distracts. The West has been pushing democracy on Ukraine for a very long time, encroaching right up on the Russian border, and continue to poke Russia at their border, they will strike back. We just, without the authorization and consent of the American people, sent the Ukrainians $14 billion of mutual aid. We continue to fund the Ukrainians and lead them on to believe that someday the West is coming for their salvation, because we so deeply believe in democracy that they continue to fight, they continue to be slaughtered, we continue to fund them up to the point that Vladimir Putin says, well, you guys have essentially declared war on me, so I am going to strike back.
Okay, so he seems to understand how Russia had their hand forced by American intervention in Ukraine, the color revolution, the progress of NATO, the overthrown Ukrainian election. Yeah, that was all us. He understands that it was America that by choice got involved in this war with Iran, which is not for the benefit of the American people and is, in fact, for the benefit of Israel. And I'll say again, what is right and wrong is not determined by whatever, again, subversive element like Mark Levin or a Mark Levin type that worms his way into the government and then, you know, declares that Joe Kent can't say what he believes. Like, that's not actually – the laws on the books aren't actually the supreme laws of the universe. There's something beyond that, morality, right? God, sin versus righteousness. There's something beyond that, right? That's the law that Tucker Carlson and Joe Kent are adhering to. I don't think they've actually broken any laws. I don't believe they have. Yeah. Basically, I mean, Alan Dershowitz is sort of the best, right? Neo-Nazi, Jew-hating, Israel basher, quits administration, good riddance to bad garbage. Okay. That's the type of vitriol that comes out of the Epstein associates. Like, you know, Alan Dershowitz. So it's like, okay. In the contest between an 11-time deployed veteran who lost his wife, gold star, husband, single father, dedicated patriot, versus all of Epstein's friends. Who do you think you're going to land on? These are the sides. Tucker Carlson, Joe Kent, Jeffrey Epstein, Alan Dershowitz. Okay. You know, pick your team. Pick your team, folks. I know the team I'm on. Alan Dershowitz. He's a neo-Nazi. Okay, sure. Sure. Why not? Maybe we all are. If that's the barrier for entry, I guess we all are. I guess it is anti-Semitic to oppose war in Iran. I guess you do have to be a neo-Nazi if you understand the way the world currently works. Like, at this point, fine. I don't even care. Whatever dichotomy we need to express to solve this problem, let's just, fine. Fine. We're all neo-Nazis. Great. Yes, I believe that Israel is the reason America went to war with Iran. Does that make me a neo-Nazi? Okay. It's right. It's correct. It's true. It's obvious. You're telling me if I believe true and obvious things, I hate Jews? Okay, fine. I don't care. We have to stop caring. I don't care what Alan Dershowitz says about anything ever, okay? He's another one. Send him home. Send him back. He can live on Epstein's Island. He can live in the temple there. Anti-war, anti-Semitism is still anti-Semitism. Oh, good. The left-wing Jews have chimed in too. So it's not a Republican thing, is it? Interesting. Is this what we want to do? Out of an expression of goodwill, I'll go to clip 18 here. This is from Rebel News. It's Ezra Levant interviewing a Jewish supporter at the pro-Iranian rally. Let's watch clip 18.
I think that anti-Semitism is deriving out of the fact of Israeli war crimes. At the same time, I don't think being a Jew, Israel does not represent all Jews. And that's my position on that, right?
Are you worried about anti-Semitism in Canada?
I don't think that was an act of anti-Semitism.
How about attacking the synagogue?
I think it was an act of anti-Zionism.
But
I do think that's a problem.
Well, then what's the difference? Because the synagogue is not a Israeli political institution. It's a place where Jews go to pray.
Well, you could say the same thing. Why is Israel bombing mosques in Iran? There's a place that religious people go to pray, yet they've been wiped out.
But Are you saying that it's legitimate to shoot up? Are you saying it's legitimate to have a synagogue as a target?
I don't agree with any violence, whether you attack a synagogue, a mosque, or a church.
You explained it by saying it's because of what Israel did that they're being attacked.
I think all these people are angry about the fact that Israel has started war with 9 different countries in the last year.
How many people, how many countries has Iran started a war with in the last 2 weeks?
Well, Iran actually hasn't started war with anybody.
Well, it shot rockets at Qatar, United Arab Emirates, so many countries.
All of those bases are supported by the Epstein class, and they've targeted U.S. bases.
You keep saying the Epstein class. What do you mean by that?
The Epstein class represents a very small group of investors who basically the military-industrial complex, big agro, big oil, the media, and the banks. They have conspired together for over 200 years to take over the U.S. government and project things that will support their particular investor group, but undermines the 99%. When I say 99%, I mean everybody who's not part of the investor group.
Well, listen, thanks for talking with me today.
No problem. Thank you.
Cheers. This is, look, this is why we need Jews on our side. I'm telling you, hey, maybe it's bigoted. Maybe it's discriminatory. Maybe I'm painting with a broad brush here. But Jews do have a way with words, don't they? I mean, they're good at arguing. It's a cultural thing. They're good at arguing. So that was a Jewish guy just kind of smacking Ezra Levant around, I hate to say. He's exactly right. Couldn't agree more. Very good point, sir. You're on our team. But thank you for your efforts. Right? At the end of the day, it's really not about Jews versus non-Jews. It's about decent people with hearts versus people who are boxed in out of fear, by the way, purely out of fear. That is the primary method by which the Jewish elite control those underneath them, the Jews underneath them, right? Out of fear, out of you support us, you support Israel no matter what, or else you're contributing to the next Holocaust, or else you are now on the side of the Nazis. That is weaponizing historical trauma to control people, okay? And we don't like it, and we don't stand for it, and we celebrate the Jews that have broken free from that control and can express things that are true and accurate and reasonable, like you shouldn't bomb mosques. And that's the thing. And like, I think Ezra sort of deliberately misinterprets what the guy said. So, you know, Ezra said, you know, this guy shouldn't, you know, attack a synagogue. And the other guy's like, okay, well, Israel shouldn't bomb mosques, which is like saying, I agree. So can we admit that both sides are doing something wrong? Right? He's not saying, no, it's okay that he attacked a synagogue because Israel attacks mosques. No, it's okay. If you're against targeting religious institutions just because you're at war, then you should be against Israel. You should be against Israel, who's doing it systematically and on a massive scale. Okay? I'm telling you, I've had that same conversation with other people, like Jason Jones. Jason Jones said that to me one time, where he was like, if you've ever heard, we were talking about people like Dave Smith, Max Blumenthal. And he's going, if you've ever heard a Jewish person argue against Israel, it's the most powerful argument ever made. Not because they're Jewish, but it's just like, I don't know, Jewish people do sort of have that skill. I don't know what it is, that verbal IQ that can be really effective and is really powerful and wonderful when it's used to good ends. But it is the most despicable and annoying thing when it's used to progress evil, which it more often is, unfortunately. So is it coming a little bit more clear, like, where the situation that we're in? That what that guy was saying was absolutely true. But Ezra Levant, as much as I like the guy and I admire his work, he's sort of stuck in the mindset. He's stuck in the I must defend Israel mindset. You don't have to, dude. There's no reason why you have to defend Israel. There's no reason why you should feel compelled or coerced or whatever else. This just happened. Anchored oil tanker hit by strike as Iran begins targeting some of the world's most critical oil infrastructure. Oh, good. It's getting worse. Look at that. Iran launched vicious attacks Tuesday on oil-producing Arab neighbors, hoping to drive up oil prices to outlast the United States and Israel. An anchored tanker was struck off the coast of the United Arab Emirates just south of the Strait of Hormuz. Port of Fujairah is strategically important because it is the terminus of a pipeline that can move oil tankers from oil to tankers from inland wells without passing through the strait, which Iran has closed to shipping. So yeah, there's a oil pipeline that stretches across Saudi Arabia that was built, I think, in like 2024 or something like that. Mitch McConnell is chimed in about Joe Kent. The virulent anti-Semitism of his resignation letter makes it clear that... Wake up, sir. Wake up. You're about to send a tweet. Somebody wake up the senator. Tell him he's about to send a tweet out calling Joe Kent an anti-Semite Jew hater. He's just like in a coma somewhere. And they're just like, quick. Dispatch a tweet calling Joe Kent a Jew hater. Quick. By the way, I'll say it again, and I've said it a million times. It doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter because if it mattered, I wouldn't even have to say it, right? If the people who needed to hear this stuff would actually make decisions on the basis of reality, then I wouldn't even have to say it because the reality is not, they don't need to hear it from me. They know it. They know it's absolutely true, which is that this was always and forever going to be a disaster for Israel. And we called it on October 9th, folks, 2023. Keep talking about it. Me and Chase Geyser saying it's not going to go well for Israel. Israel is not in a good place right now. And if they really try to do to Gaza what they're saying they're going to do to Gaza, it's going to bring in Hezbollah. It's going to bring in Iran. It's going to end with catastrophe for Israel. And it has, but we are called anti-Semites for saying that. Just like right now, I'm saying it's going to be a disaster for American Jews if they don't reject Zionism and embrace their nationality and stop working against the American people and calling us all anti-Semites. They're not going to listen to me either. I understand that. I'm still going to say it. Let's go to clip 15 here. This is an NBC News reporter reporting from the heart of Tel Aviv. How's it going for you, Israel? Is it going well? Let's watch.
Now, this is probably the impact that woke me up last night. Just look at this behind me. This is a 10-story building here in Bat Yam, south of Tel Aviv. You can see just buildings all around with their windows blown out. The destruction is comprehensive. And from what we understand from Israeli authorities, they're still looking for people who are buried under the rubble. It looks as though that original reprisal by the Iranians last night, or the night before last, actually wasn't the end. And according to Israeli authorities, the Israeli attacks against Iran are set to continue for days or weeks, and we can expect a lot more punishment from the Iranians in return.
Now you'll notice that was from June 15th, 2025, because they allowed those reports to go out. There are no reports coming out of Israel these days. Do you think that's because there's no damage? Or do you think that's because they're aggressively shutting down any reporting about it? There's nothing coming out of Israel right now. Nobody's seen Bibi in weeks except for his very suspicious videos where he's buying coffee to prove that he's still alive. No public appearances. They've held the defense meeting, which he always attends. He wasn't there. Yesterday, maybe today, they held a Israeli security meeting that he's attended every single one the entire time he's been prime minister. Did not attend this one. Ben-Gavir hasn't been seen in weeks. His son hasn't tweeted for years. All they're doing is releasing these very weird videos. Maybe he is alive. Maybe he's not. The fact is we're not getting any information because the information is embarrassing for Israel because it's not going well. People are fleeing Israel. The lines in the airport to get out of the country are like miles long. It's not going well. So maybe for once, maybe it's just a little change of pace. Maybe you could just try, okay? You could just give it a chance here. Maybe... stop it. Just stop it. Just stop. Maybe if you try stop being aggressive, stop attacking everybody. Just see. Just give it a try. See if that works.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us.
Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. Don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3, and it's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We're going to be joined by Tiffany Cianci in the third hour. And I'm going to do something a little special this hour. I'm going to play The Eighth Front in full. My 15-minute documentary. It now has nearly, I don't know, does it have 20 million yet? I was creeping up on 20 million views on X. And we've only ever played it one time in full on this program. So I think we're going to play it again, especially today when it's so important. Because you need to understand that what we're talking about here, what I'm talking about here, it's not born from bigotry. It's not born from hatred. It's born from a very simple understanding of the situation as it as it is and believing the statements of the people who are making moves against America. It's as simple as that. And so in the Eighth Front, you'll see person after person from Benjamin Netanyahu to Jonathan Greenblatt and everybody in between saying exactly the same thing, marching in the same, you know, to the same orders and to the same tune as they declare war against America and describe the way in which they're tearing America down to build up Israel. You don't have to believe me. They're the ones saying it, and all I'm doing is believing it. 18.8 million views. Share it, folks. So we'll go to that in just a second. I want to read the response from Tulsi Gabbard. Before I do that, just going back to Representative Josh Gottheimer. This is the thing that I can't even figure out. Like, I can't even rationalize. When he says, Joe Kent resigning and immediately pivoting to blaming Israel for everything is as predictable as it is unserious. What does that mean? What does he mean pivoting to blaming Israel? He's saying that Israel is the reason he's leaving. He's saying, I'm resigning. Here's why. It's because Israel influenced Trump to get us into war in Iran. There's no pivoting to then being anti-Israel. That is the reason. This is what I don't understand. Like, I can't even, it's such a bizarre thing to say that I can't even like rationalize it or understand it or like contradict it. Do you understand? Like, it's like if I go, you know, hey, I'm quitting my job because I don't get paid enough. And they go, you know, the boss goes, oh, so you're quitting your job. And then all of a sudden you pivot to how much you're paid. It's like, what does that even mean? Do you see what I mean? It's like, it doesn't even make sense. This is the type of stuff we're dealing with where people are just saying things. And it's like, no, he said the reason he's quitting, he's resigning because he doesn't believe that this is in America's interest and that our country is being run by foreigners. And he's against that. Obviously, I would be against that. Obviously, that is a perfectly valid reason to no longer be serving in an administration. You took an oath to America only to learn that we're being dictated to and controlled by a foreign state. He's sort of obligated to quit. He is honor bound to remove himself from that situation. And so then they take that and they say he quit and then he pivoted to anti-Israel stuff. It's like, this is what I mean. It's this way of saying things that it's like, I can't even begin to understand where to argue against that, because it's so weird to say. It's such a bizarre way to phrase it. It's beyond explanation. So like that I just saw, I saw it again during the break, and it's just like, that's the type of thing that just sort of like feels, I don't know. Have you ever been driving? One time I was driving on a dirt road in Colorado. I was in my mom's van. I was learning to drive when I was 15. I was going way too fast. And I'm turning the corner around like a curve of the dirt road. And there's a moment when the wheel keeps turning, but the car is not. You lose traction. And there's just like this moment of like, uh-oh. Oh, I'm out of control. Oh, this doesn't work anymore. And we're still moving. It's like, that's almost the feeling that I get when I read stuff like that. It's just like, what? Like, what? What happened here? What are you saying? It's just, you go from having your feet firmly on the ground, just being like, why am I dizzy all of a sudden? Like, what just happened? What are you talking about? And there's so much stuff like that where they say things. And it's like, even just to comprehend what it is, my brain just starts like scrambling. Wait, he resigned and then he pivoted to anti-Israel. So he's saying that he resigned for a different reason, that he's not actually anti-Israel? Like, what is he saying exactly? That's what I mean. It's like, I feel like I'm losing grip. But no, it's the gaslighting. It's the insane gaslighting. It's just like, I don't even know what to do about this anymore. I guess we'll just wait till the vehicle comes to a stop. All right, D&I Tulsi Gabbard has responded to Joe Kent, saying Donald Trump was overwhelmingly elected by the American people to be our president and commander-in-chief. As our commander-in-chief, he is responsible for determining what is and is not an imminent threat and whether or not to take action he deems necessary to protect the safety and security of our troops, the American people, and our country. Tell you what, blink twice, Tulsi. Blink twice if they have a gun to your head. Jesus. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence is responsible for helping coordinate and integrate all intelligence and provide the President Commander-in-Chief with the best information available to inform his decisions. After carefully reviewing all the information before him, President Trump concluded that the terrorist Islamist regime in Iran posed an imminent threat, and he took action based on that conclusion. Like, yeah, I guess that's kind of what happened. A little bit. Was it real, though? I mean, was it true? I guess what matters is, was it true, though? Just crazy. And Shoe at Shoe on Head. Hi, Tulsi. Are you still selling these? I'd love to buy one. It's a shirt that just says no war with Iran from January 5th, 2020. The damn shame what's happened to our country. The good news is we've got a very simple solution. It's got simple and obvious and readily apparent solution. It is extricate with extreme malice all of the foreign influence in our federal government to prosecute anybody shown to be working in any way with a foreign government, Israel included, to completely eradicate AIPAC and the ADL and any of these other ethno-supremacist organizations that use immense amount of government money, by the way, to try to destroy our ability to speak freely, tell the truth, or even understand the world around us. We have to use the power of our government. It has to get in the hands of true American patriots. How we, you know, get to that point is going to be difficult because so far, at this point, all of the levers of political power are firmly in the hands of our enemies. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a bit of a fight. I think we can do it, though. I think if the American people come together and treat this with just a, you know, modicum of seriousness, just a percentage of the seriousness with which our enemies treat this, I don't think it would be an issue. The problem is that we've got no organization like that. But once it starts up, it'll be very effective. It'll be very, very effective. So let's go now to clip six here. This is the documentary that has 18.8 million views on X so far. Let's get it up over 20 million, and I'll do that a second edition. It'll be called The Fifth Column. It'll be even more intense. Let's go to the Eighth Front War. You can find and share this on X.com at Harrison H. Smith. We're going to let it play in full. We've only ever played it once, and I think it's worth it to play it again, considering that so many people have had their eyes opened by this, and I'm just honored and gratified that it's had such a powerful and positive impact on the world. You never know. You can dedicate a lot of time to something and it goes nowhere. Sometimes something breaks through, and that's what's happened here. So thank you to everybody who shared it. Now let's watch The Eighth Front War. You can share it at Harrison H. Smith. Here it is.
I think there's another revolution coming. I tend to steer it along with the achievement of a broader peace. When history is within reach.
So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven front war, but an eighth front war.
For the Jews against Rome.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people.
Well, we lost that.
We have to win the next one. But the new Rome, the United States,
Jews against Rome.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
The weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
Well, we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are on social media.
Because the next war will be decided based on how Israel and its allies perform online as much as offline.
This is the Eighth Front, the disinformation campaign.
It is actually this Eighth Front where our enemies believe they can actually defeat the Jewish state.
This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
A lot of this is done with money.
Invested billions and billions of dollars in the information battlefield.
Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster.
We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions.
You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters.
Podcasts. Short-form video, Wikipedia, LLM.
American haters, Churchill haters.
We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
You think your stupid little podcast is going to change the world like hell it is?
Social media, this is the new battlefield.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged Nazi.
We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is...
TikTok,
number one.
For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic.
So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza.
We really have a TikTok problem.
Because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage, and I sound obscene.
Anti-Zionism is just Jew hatred.
We made a change.
We updated our policies
to designate the use of the term Zionist.
To recognize that the term Zionist
as a proxy for a protected attribute
can be used as a proxy for Jews and Israelis
as hate speech.
Why can't Israel be doing some sort of, you know, counterintelligence?
Right now, the ADL is co-writing Sunday school curriculum.
Information warfare like this.
It's building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively.
Like a psychological operations in America.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind.
You're right. We control the media. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to bitch on Twitter? Like, okay. Meanwhile, we're going to control more of the media.
And working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft, we are working with them now to train the LLMs.
We also have, I think, over two dozen Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists.
Monitoring campuses, digital networks, activist groups, and public officials.
We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country.
I've talked to the leaders of AI in the world, and you ask yourself, there's so many blessings in this, but there could be a curse.
First thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
We need to invest in intelligence to understand who are the anti-Semites, who's funding them, what's their plan, who are the leaders, and then once we have that, we can define who is an enemy we can attack.
You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
Once we have all this information, we need to empower and mobilize an ecosystem of many organizations that we can incentivize them to work together, to share, and to fight against our common enemies.
Mobilizing millions of people, of allies, that are quietly by our side.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
You know, anti-Semites, most of these people running around, we're not going to win their hearts and minds because they don't have hearts and they don't have minds. So, you know, how are we going to, there's no reason to think we're ever going to convince them, but we can deport them, we can put them in jail, we can make their lives miserable, we can cut off their funding.
You've got all these conspiracy theorists online going on and on and on about how, you know, if you try and say anything, if you try and do anything against Jews, they're going to come after you.
We have featured more than 1,000 anti-Semites.
And they're going to destroy you and take away your business, and therefore you have to be really, really scared.
These Jew haters have faced real consequences, including firings, suspensions, and expulsions.
And it's kind of starting to come true.
We will shine a light on you that will follow you for the rest of your life. When you look for a job, when you look for a spouse, when you look for a nanny, when you look for anything.
And I love that. I love it.
We remove hate speech against Zionists when these harmful stereotypes about Jews are invoked.
In the past 12 months, ADL's filed more lawsuits than in the prior 112 years.
Over the weekend, I received concerning news that I was being sued for $5 million.
Vicious, communist, racist, Jew-hating, Israel-bashing monster.
Defendant frequently posts anti-Israel rhetoric accusing Israel of controlling the United States and its politicians.
We at the ZOA will fight these dangerous and monstrous lies with all of our hearts and souls. No appeasement, no conciliation, only a war against this racist hatred of the Jewish people.
When there is a war, it doesn't matter who your enemy is. You need to destroy their offspring to prevent them from creating more offspring.
What you're trying to do is you want to corral your victim, but in fact, your countries are the victim. So you dehumanize a group of people in human society, and you prepare them for the kill, for the butchery.
A government can do in 2 months more than any organization can do in its lifetime.
The J7 is comprised of the seven largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices.
And we're running everything all the time, from focus groups to attitudinal surveys to like randomized controlled trials to identify what interventions work most effectively.
Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record, with world leaders, in which we share our community's concerns and call for action.
The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 in colleges, must be reformed.
But it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
The way we solve anti-Semitism is pretty goddamn simple.
Take control over what they are saying.
Send their ass to jail. It's not complicated.
And quickly, before it's too late.
We're monitoring political Islamists and Christian nationalists, all of them. And then we train. We're the largest trainer of law enforcement in America, extremism and hate. We train 20,000 officers every year.
Try that again.
We deeply value our partnership with law enforcement. We've been working with them literally since the FBI was founded in the 1930s.
Is that your account?
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's all we're here to talk about, to refrain from posting things like that.
We are going to have a whole division within the office of the Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism that is going to work on technology.
We must take all of our technological expertise and all of our available resources to develop methods to launch and win a significant counter-information campaign.
The products of our technical capacities and sometimes technical and intelligence genius, and we're happy to do it.
The office is going to be revamped entirely to be one of the highest profile offices in the State Department.
Because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust.
The only solution right now is for the governments to decide that all the Jews are a protected minority. That means that the governments will be obliged to provide the security.
Upgrades to security. Jewish community shouldn't have to be paying for it.
But we have to pay for our own armed guards? Are you serious?
To fund institutions, culture, and that everybody in Europe will learn about the Jewish contribution and why they should cherish Jewish presence.
All your synagogues, all your shuls, all paid for. Everything. Everything that you need is paid for. I, for one, as a Jewish leader, will no longer talk about anti-Semitism in isolation from Israel. It's what we want immediately, if you ask any Jew. What do you want? What do you want? No more protests. No more protests.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I just don't like the government of Bibi Netanyahu. No, you're a Jew hater.
Would a group be banned if it accuses Israel of genocide or apartheid?
If those criteria are satisfied, then that is the case.
Any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel so we become another capital finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade. as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a mission, a goal, to bring a million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I want to make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And to the world, I say this. History will not remember those who merely denounced hatred in polite language. History will remember those who acted.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are.
Anti-Semitism is pure evil.
If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I think we're at the cusp of a new age. Because I think that we will achieve the expansion of peace. I think that we are in a new age because I think that the possibilities of technology, with their risks, especially in AI, but with their positive benefits, are enormous in every field. I mean, from agriculture to health to transportation to... And I think that we are together. We can lead this and become not a secondary power, but a primary power.
So there you go. Find and share that video at Harrison H. Smith on Rumble at Moonbase Live. And, of course, support us in everything that we do. And, of course, this is the beautiful thing about InfoWars. I don't have to worry about getting support for anybody. I don't have to worry about any advertisers being mad about the content I put out. Let me tell you, folks, that video got 18.8 million views on X. It was on YouTube, if we were allowed on YouTube, and I was allowed on YouTube, and I got that many views on YouTube, I'd be rolling in the dough. You know how much I got from the revenue share on X for 18.8 million views of a video? I got $1,000. Which, hey, I'm not shaking stick at $1,000. That's a lot of money, but I don't rely on that. I cannot rely on that. We cannot rely on big tech. We cannot rely even on the generosity of our audience. We have thealexjonesstore.com, and we rely on you, the InfoWars audience, going there, getting a fantastic product, keeping us on the air, and keeping that type of content flowing, keeping that type of content being made by us because we have the time and the leeway to make that type of content because you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. You want more? Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the Globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth."
What do you think about the USA? What do you think about the USA?
It should burn! Death to America!
Congresswoman Tlaib?
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
Talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
You have all these proxy wars going on. What's happening in the Caribbean with Venezuela? What's happening with Iran? What's happening with Russia? And all these different allied forces fighting with each other. That's the definition of a world war. And that's what all of the mainline analysts are saying. If this really is World War IV, that's what the Pentagon is actually calling it in the academic papers that the United States is fighting right now. China just cut off all rare earth mineral exports to anybody that works for the U.S. They control 95% of it, okay? The globalists allow them to be in positions like that.
So what happens if China successfully cuts off rare earth mineral supplies to the U.S. for a protracted period of time? Is this really the apocalypse for our war machine in many respects? Or is this all just sort of tutting by the Chinese in lieu of getting a good deal from us?
Yeah, I don't think the defense industry will get rare earths from now on. It's not a ban.
Wow.
Commercial industry.
Wow.
Yeah, commercial industries will get it. But you had a major car maker here go down. They shut down this a few months ago for 2 months. They didn't have their rare earth magnets from China. They got
That's
restarted,
right.
But like, they literally had to get Trump on the phone to call China. So, the defense industry won't get it. They're going to put export control. So China's a very controlled economy. You have to have licenses for importing, for exporting. They're going to make sure, okay, Ford, you're going to buy, or GM or whoever, you're going to buy 50,000 rare earth magnets that has X amount of grams of rare earth. That's all you're getting. So they're going to make sure this doesn't go into the U.S. defense supply chain. I think that's kind of a given. I don't think they're going to get any.
This is absolutely out of control.
As commander of U.S. Army Pacific, you saw this firsthand in Alaska. What did you see?
I took an intelligence briefing. And I was stunned to find out the amount of penetrations that had been happening at our bases up there by Chinese nationals that were in the United States. These individuals were going to the gate. Some of them were getting into the installations. And when they were getting into the installations, they would have cameras and unmanned aerial vehicles in the trunks of their cars. And these things were also happening off the installations, flying in and around our installations, in and around our training areas. We have an enormous training area up in Alaska. The Donley and Yukon training areas is probably the largest ground and airspace that we have in the United States Army, and it's in Alaska. And so Russia and China are serious about their activities up there. I think Russia has always been serious about it. I think China has woken up to its seriousness about it because of the gains that can be made. And then I also think that securing our northern flank from threats, be they missile or be they economic threats, where we don't have access of our reach over the Arctic Ocean, and that we get penetrated by adversaries in ways that would put the United States and the Western Hemisphere at risk.
So we're in the new world war. And that's what all the big think tanks have been saying for a couple of years. But now it's official, okay? You've got all these different proxy wars going on. This is the new world war. Now, the CIA called the Cold War World War III. I agree with that term. This is really World War IV. And it's getting kinetic. It's economic. It's cultural. And it's incredibly dangerous. You'll be laying in your bed one night. We're going to be driving down the highway after work. And there'll be big flashes you see. And then 10 seconds later, your car is going to be overturned, probably on fire. And then life as you know it's over. You won't get back to your family. There'll be mass starvation and death. And there'll be a new literal dark age with enough dust in the atmosphere to cause a mini ice age. And they estimate 7 billion people will die in a nuclear war. There'll be maybe 500 million left, which is what these death cult people fetish all day long.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm joined in studio by the one and only Tiffany Cianci. You can follow her on X at The Vino Mom or by going to TiffanyCianci.com. That is, again, The Vino Mom on X. She, of course, talks about private equity and so much other stuff. I feel like I don't even have to introduce you anymore. People should know you by now. But if you don't, TiffanyCianci.com. How are you today, Tiffany?
It's another day in paradise.
Isn't it? Yeah, you know, I call you my bubbly fairy of doom because you're always in such a good mood, but...
I brought dessert today.
I brought
good stuff. I'll save it. I'm going to save it for the end because we're going to need it.
Okay, good.
Good news, but I brought some good news today.
Well, I'm sure a bunch of terrible stuff has been going on. I've been so hyper-focused on what's going on in Iran, I'm like not even paying attention to a lot of the other stuff.
I think that's what they want.
Yeah,
it's
maybe so.
Maybe I'm
falling for it.
Somebody recently actually looked at an analysis of how much mentions of Epstein dropped after the start of the Iran war, and they dropped by 98%.
It was very effective. That's why it was great. Was it Max Blumenthal that came up with calling it Operation Epstein's Revenge or whatever it was? It's like, yes, we have to tie Epstein to the Iran war so it still has attention. But do you think it's working? I feel like if they're trying to distract from the Epstein stuff, maybe war with Iran wasn't the best distraction to distract us with since it's so tied in together.
You know, I really think that when it comes to the war with Iran, I think that Trump was convinced that he had this quick exit and that the people of Iran were actually ready to rise up and take to the streets. It's hysterical to me.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. And what we just saw today with Kent's resignation, right?
Powerful. Saw
it today. That was the bravest thing I think I've seen ever. Right. And that was Snowden level brave, in my opinion.
Right.
And I'd give anything for a good old fashioned Snowden right now, like in the DOJ. I just need one. You guys, just one of you in there to like just really like man or woman up for us.
Yeah, seriously.
But, you know, I thought it was so brave because it was so honest. And also, I mean, he's a gold star husband. Like, yep. Like he knows the cost of war. He knows.
And this is, that's me. I just commented on it on X. Cause I was looking, while the Eighth Front was playing, I was scrolling Twitter and just noticing all the veterans get it.
Yeah.
All the veterans, even if they're like for Iran, they're like, hey, I might disagree with Joe, but he's an honorable man and he did what he believed was right. So it's like, that has been like the biggest white pill for me is to see all of these people that, you don't know, you know, sometimes I'm against them. Sometimes I'm for them. They're a little bit, you know, veterans tend to be a little bit more hoorah, like let's go fight. But every single veteran I've seen on X has Joe Kent's back. And I'm like, okay, they get it. They at least understand that what Joe Kent was doing was not motivated by hatred. It was sincere. And that in and of itself is a great victory, I think.
One of the really interesting things I've endured on X these last few weeks talking about the Iran war is, you know, a lot of people like, what do you know? You don't know anything about war. First of all, I was a military wife throughout all of Enduring Freedom. All of it. Okay, my husband's unit was the very first deployed unit after 9/11. Very first. He was the ready deploy unit from Fort Bragg. And I was an FRG leader during all of Enduring Freedom. And I was the non-commissioned lead for 6 years. And I also am a recipient of the Dr. Mary E. Walker Award, which is the highest civilian honor you can get for service to the United States during a time of war.
Wow.
A lot of people think I don't know anything.
I didn't know
about
any
war.
Of that. That's amazing. Okay.
I mean, that was a lifetime ago. You know, we're talking about we're talking about 25 years ago.
Right.
That's 25 years ago. And yes, I wear a lot of sunblock. Because well, I just aged myself way more than I ever meant to on this show.
Oh, that's crazy. And it's been 25 years of this BS. How is it that we haven't learned our lesson in 25 years?
We are paid to not learn our lessons. And when I say we, I don't mean you or me. We're paid to have our country bankrupted by a country that has bankrupted anything that was good for the American people through just abject, like, force, greed, leverage, and probably no small amount of blackmail.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, I just don't have the bandwidth for any grace on that subject at this point. If you're not for protecting American troops in America, if you're going to lie and say we were under some kind of imminent threat when Tulsi Gabbard had just come from congressional hearings where she said there was no imminent threat and that they were not pursuing a bomb, right? Like if you, and frankly, forgive me for pointing out the painfully obvious, but there is still a press release up right now on the White House page today that says that we had absolutely obliterated all nuclear facilities or nuclear capable possibilities in Iran from June 25th of last year. It is still up on the White House page today. And it also says anything to the contrary is fake news. That is up today, right now, on the White House press page.
That's
okay?
So funny.
So forgive me. I've got no patience for it. We have watched men and women come home in body bags now, flag-draped coffins. And I'm sorry, for what? For Bibi? Thanks, no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, not even for Bibi. For Israel to continue to kill anybody they want without anybody else interfering. That's what I try to keep reminding people is it's not like this. I don't even believe it was an imminent threat for Israel. I mean, think about the fact that
I agree.
Iran is regularly hitting Tel Aviv right now. They could have done that at any point. For 2 years, they watched Gaza be destroyed, constantly trying to engage diplomatically. At any point, they could have just let loose with the missiles. They are not the crazy aggressive ones.
I think I'm going to say right now the really elephant in the room is that I actually feel like Iran is almost a distraction so no one's looking at what they're doing to Lebanon, which is genocidal.
100%. I bring that up every single day because I think Lebanon has always been deliberately ignored. I mean, I was bringing that up in November of 23 going, guys, you got to pay attention to Hezbollah and Lebanon. It is a major unspoken because they talk about it now a little bit, but they used to never even mention it. But it was always like the elephant in the room. Absolutely.
Well, and if you look right now at what's happening, I'm just going to say it as a Catholic woman. I talk about being a very, very devout Catholic woman. Okay. If you look at what's happening to Catholicism at the higher echelons of our government right now, the only Catholic on the Religious Freedom Council was forced out.
Yep.
Okay. Now we see Pete Hegseth's faith leader come out and say that displays of Catholic faith should be illegal.
That's right.
As basically heresy, and that it should all be Judeo-Christian at this point. We're all Judeo-Christian. And the Pope is being absolutely eviscerated by members of our administration for being the only one that's absolute. You don't kill babies.
Yeah.
God's not down with that.
Yeah.
We're also not down with the belief that Jesus Christ is burning in hell. So, right. You know, we have a pretty clear line in the sand in our faith on this. And that's why Catholicism is being like absolutely just like threatened.
Yeah.
On every front here in America. Well, you know what? Catholics were resilient.
Yeah.
We've got staying power, so good luck.
Well, and like, I'm not even Catholic, but like, you can't do that to people. Nope. You, it's completely wrong. What they did to, Karine, Prejean Buller, was blatant and outrageous. And then they fired, I guess, the only Muslim that was on, or I guess I don't even know if a Muslim was invited to be on the, religious tolerance thing. And this is what's so upsetting me is they have a religious tolerance meeting. One person is anti-Zionist. They kick her off. It's like, it's just so obvious. It's like, how are they being so blatant and still getting away with it? I mean, I don't think they are getting away with it, but what do you think the average American perceives about all of this? I mean, do you think people are waking up to the degree that they should be?
If you're on social media, yes.
Right.
If you are somebody that is still digesting Fox News and MSNBC, it's like talking to like a toddler. It's the weirdest thing to me to sit in a room with a normie and like have a conversation, be like, you know, they're eating babies, right? They're like, nobody's eating babies. That's crazy. You know, like the total time frame from that's a conspiracy theory to we're cool with talking about that on the news with regularity right now is like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Like that's where we're at with things. And like that's if you're on social media and you're getting digestible news from people that are actually keeping up with the absolute just avalanche of stuff coming at us on a daily basis, just rolling like a snowball down a hill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so for me, yeah, I think the world is waking up. If you're under 45 at this point, the world is waking up. If you're over 45, life is good. What do you care?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Is it just
and
the
they're not
brainwashing?
Gonna be grafted, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, is it just the brain? Do they actually believe it? Are they just scared to consider that they might be wrong? So I feel like so much of it is literally just fear. It's because I see it all, you know, I'll mention something to a normie and you just see that they look down at the ground immediately. And it's like, it's as if, you know, a dude with a gun just walked in and they're like, oh God, avert your eyes. I mean, it's pure fear. They cannot even confront the facts.
You know, I was watching one of the reception ceremonies for the soldiers coming home, and then back-to-back videos I got in my feed that day. Everybody was being so respectful everywhere that, you know, Taking Chances, one of my favorite movies. If you've never seen it, you should watch it. It's about taking a soldier on the journey home from dying in war to being delivered to your final resting place. It's a good movie. And the second one was an honor flight for a World War II veteran from, I think, D-Day. And, everybody was like really respecting them. And like, I literally was in traffic and I had to pull over on the side of the road and have an absolute breakdown. Just absolute grief for what I have believed about my country my entire life. The sacrifices my family made for the military, for our country, for my entire life. The way that I have had so much faith in this really elastic, beautiful, republic that our founders gave everything to create for us, and how absolutely disappointed in us they would be right now. You know, like we're sitting here on a screen and we're trying to do the good work. But we gotta do more. We gotta do a lot more. And right now we've become not complacent, just overwhelmed and, overwhelmed, underpaid, overextended. Every minute of the day is filled. Everybody has three side hustles. Nobody has money for food or gas. And at the same time, you need somewhere to live, so you have to have both. And, you know, our kids' days are filled and religion's gone and third spaces are gone and community's gone. And if we don't find a way to make the room to make a difference, it's just going to keep getting worse. But they did give us an elastic republic. I do genuinely believe it's not too late.
Well, and that's why it seems like as bad as everything's getting, it's an opportunity. It is an opportunity to go, oh, we're all fed up with this. We're all sick of this. We all notice how our lives have been degraded and how our young men are being sent to die for pointless conflicts. Okay, let's stop all this from happening. So what do we need to do? Because I'm sick of talking about all this stuff too. I'm sick of having just every day. I always say it's like I do a true crime podcast, and every day I just have to come in and report on another murder from the same serial killer that's killed 20 people before, and we know his name and we know where he is and we know he and it's just every day I got to come in and go, well, he got another one and nobody's doing anything to stop it. So like, how do we stop this cycle? How do we interrupt this? Because we are, I think, reaching a critical mass of Americans who are just absolutely, and they have all different reasons to be sick and fed up and exhausted at what's going on and furious enough to do something about it. What is that thing that we do?
So there's a few things that we have to do, but the first thing we have to do, and nobody likes it, is that we have to vote out all of the incumbents. All of them. I'm sorry. All of them. They all got to go. If they're in your party, they got to go. If they're in their party, they've got to go. Go register for a primary and go vote against the incumbents. And honestly, that's only going to work if 100,000 of you guys run for office. Mm. Okay? And I swear to you, I mean it when I say this. I don't care what party you register under. I don't care if you run as an independent. I do not care. What I care about is that you run on a platform of anti-corruption. I want 100,000 people running at every office in the land. And then I'm going to get another 100,000 of you to help me pass referendums in 18 referendum states, and we're going to start changing things. That's what we have to do. There are 19 states in this United States where we can circumvent the legislatures and pass laws ourselves. Mm. We got to start going around them. You guys want some laws? If you're in a referendum state, send me a message. I will send you text for a bill. You can start collecting signatures today, because I have bills I've written for all kinds of things, from protecting small businesses to creating non-competes for politicians, right, so that they can't work for lobbyists after they leave office. I mean, we get non-competes. Why shouldn't they?
Right.
Right? We'll close that revolving door. Let's eliminate how much money corporations can give in our states, because states get to rescind corporatehood. We get to take that away. We should create a death penalty for corporations that commit crimes. We can do all of that with referendum laws. I'm tired of waiting, because waiting is not working. Money keeps coming. So 100,000 people need to run for office. It really needs to be closer to 1 million people. We have 550,000 elected officials in the United States. It's a lot of people.
It's too bad. It's too many people.
Okay? So we need 1 million people to run for office. And I don't care. I don't care if you're a plumber. I don't care if you're a garbage man. Our republic was built so that we are represented by the people from our communities short term. This was never supposed to be a career path, right, ever. It was too ripe for corruption. That's what our forefathers said. It was too ripe.
But that's the thing. Is it even possible with the current system? Like, is it even, because that's one thing that it's like, this has almost been the final, like, okay, it's official. Voting can't solve it. Like, we voted, we did it. We got the guy in who said he would do it. He's not doing it.
Voting can't solve it if we keep voting for who we're told to in the two existing parties. Right. That is true. You have to vote out the people that take the money.
See, this is, again, the opportunity. Who wouldn't vote? I mean, I think a lot of people would vote for whatever combination of Thomas Massie, Ro Khanna, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, Joe Kent now. I mean, his profile just exploded. He needs to turn that into political action, political power.
If Massie Khanna run, I'm quitting my job tomorrow, just so you know.
I think
I already belong to that ticket. They got me.
I think a lot of people would. I think Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. would be on that. I mean, obviously there is friction between the people that were brought in, like Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent, RFK Jr., and the establishment Trump committee. We just read out the statement from Tulsi Gabbard where she's responding to Joe Kent, and I mean, it sounds like a woman with a gun to her head.
Yes, it does.
It sounded like a hostage situation. It sucks. We gave them the power. Are they able to use it effectively? And
I think it's laughable that we think that anyone has any power at this point. I'm going to be honest.
Anybody like, that we vote for, you mean?
Any. I mean, honestly, yeah. It feels like there's just, you know, a few people with all the money puppeting everyone from behind, almost caricature-like at this point.
It is vulgar. Yeah.
It's vulgar. Weird. And it's crazy. I don't think that I don't know what the leverage is that these billionaires have over these politicians, except to know that if they have that leverage, they deserve to go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if they have blackmail on you, then you're evil and you got to go.
Or you can come out and go, hey guys, here's the blackmail they have on me. I'm sorry. Let me tell you how it works. You can actually come out and say that. Like, that's the other thing that surprises me, is like, to do what Joe Kent did, to break, I mean, it's so like unprecedented. You can see the way people are freaking out. It's like, this was never supposed to happen. You were never supposed to say this, but it's like, just do it. Just say the truth. Just come out and go, hey, American people. It's like, what are they going to do? Gatekeep you? You have the internet, right? I mean, you can go on Tucker Carlson. You can come on InfoWars. Like, there's nothing they can do to stop you from getting the message out. So anybody out there, that's why I don't even get about the claims of blackmail and stuff. It's like with Donald Trump, it's like, who could control Donald Trump? Donald Trump could call a press conference today and say whatever the hell he wants, and the American people would immediately like be on his side if he's telling the truth and actually working for us.
Not if he's afraid he's the next Charlie.
Yeah, not if he's afraid he'll die, but that's the thing, isn't it? If you say it, they can't kill you from that. Like if Trump goes, hey guys, let me tell you something right now. Israel wants to kill me. Guess what? Israel is now massively incentivized to keep you alive. Like this is what I don't understand.
I mean, I agree with you.
Isn't that
I agree
how
with you. But you know, like I said, I need a million of you guys to run for office, and I swear to you, I will bring every creator in my arsenal to keep you guys on track and getting elected. I will come campaign for you. Every single independent running in the United States, I think, follows me on TikTok right now, and we like share each other's posts.
Man, and
I'm committed to the cause.
There are some pretty big. I mean, James Fishback is making a pretty big splash, man, and he came out of nowhere. I mean, he's just a dude with a camera and, you know, running around giving speeches. And he is dominating despite being deliberately, like, attacked from every side. So it can happen. And the thing is, like, people always say to us, like, well, you need to run for office. It's like, this is what I do. I'm doing this. I do nothing but this all day, every day. This is my position. It's like, you know, one person's got to steer the boat. The other person's got to rig the sails. We can't all do everything. So I want to use my position to help you get elected. Whatever you're doing, DM me. I'm available. I'm constantly reaching out to try to help people. Tiffany's the same way. So we handle this aspect of the war, but we need the soldiers on the ground actually going out and fighting. And then we can be the backup in the reserve force. I mean, that's how I would run too, but I'm not actually going to run. I would never. I'm not going to do that. I like being here. I like being where I am here.
I live in Western Maryland where we're gerrymandered to a point where I cannot effectively run. I can't, literally the laws they've created in our state and the gerrymandering they've put in my area has reached a point where I could not run and actually have a chance. And there are places like that in the United States, and I recognize that that is limiting in some ways. I live in one of the most gerrymandered states in the United States. It's horrible. That said, there are more than 10,000 offices every single year that are major legislative offices that go unopposed, that no one's run against somebody in the last two decades because it's just assumed that they're going to win. And all the time we read about, you know, somebody, some 18-year-old kid winning mayor because nobody thought anyone would run against the guy that had been winning for the last 20 years.
Right.
And an 18-year-old was like, enough of this, and ran for office. That can happen everywhere. And it might be harder at the federal level. It's not impossible. But in your state legislatures, you need to get out there and you start running, like now.
100%. And that's the thing. That's what happened with AOC, right? Nobody had heard of AOC until she won. It was the first time she went viral was her responding to her victory. And somebody like, this girl won. Who is this? That was an operation, right? That was them identifying a certain district. Exactly as you said, a guy had been winning for 30 years. Nobody'd ever challenged him. They figured out, okay, demographically, this is the place to challenge. They got AOC in. She's now a household name and on the path to presidency if she stops being an idiot. But this can happen. This would be a great use of AI. Like if you're wondering out there, just pull up Grok and go, hey, what seats are vulnerable in my district?
Correct.
I live here. Who's an incumbent that's been in office for 10 years and when do they go up for election? And then what? You pay a $25 fee to file and worst case scenario, you get a chance to go up and speak in front of a crowd a couple times and then you lose the election. Oh, well, you had a great experience. You now have like experience running. You can put that on your resume and run again. I mean, you got to just do it. You got to just, there's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping any of you except for your own excuses. So.
Well, look at Spencer Pratt running for mayor of LA right now because of what happened in the Palisades.
Info warrior.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, his home was destroyed and then he started uncovering all of the corruption that rerouted a bunch of the money that was raised at fire aid to Israeli causes.
That's right.
Random. Not really, as it turns out.
What are the odds? What a coincidence.
My God. That never happens. Ever. And now he's running for mayor. And he's doing a great job.
Right.
You know, he's got a real shot. And, you know, just because I say independent doesn't mean you have to run as an independent. You can be independent-minded and still run under a party if your state requires it. Look at what James Tallarico is doing down in Texas. James Tallarico just took out Jasmine Crockett.
I know, and he's the worst, unfortunately, but oh well, you know, but it,
well,
but it can't happen.
About to flood his campaign to try to knock him out. So
who is
AIPAC's trying to bump Tallarico out?
You think so? Oh,
oh
they want,
no, we know
they want
so.
Cruz
they just did
win.
A huge ad buy.
Yeah.
They
well,
just did a massive
to,
ad buy.
He used to take money from AIPAC, so.
He took $23,000 in the grand scheme of how much has been taken. He stopped and he sent some of it back. But now AIPAC is flooding his district with ads saying he's pro-Israel to try to get him not to win.
I know. This is like the perfect illustration of like where we are. We either vote for like Ted Cruz or whoever's running against him, like total Israel first, like he's, you know, he's a Cuban guy from Canada that represents Israel in the Texas, you know, for Texas in the Senate. It's nonsense. So you either have like the guy who says he's dedicated to Israel, although I think it's Cornyn who's running against, whatever. You have the Israeli person or you have James Tallarico who's like, okay, he doesn't take AIPAC money anymore, but he also just literally hates everything that I love. And
all I'm
going to
say this
America.
Week is that Ted Cruz said Catholics in general and anyone who says Christ is king are anti-Semites.
Yeah. So again, that is the issue. It's like, okay, these are our choices. We either have somebody who's hateful to Catholics or somebody who like gives speeches in front of churches that Jesus Christ was a radical feminist and probably trans. It's like, please, some of you run. Can some InfoWarriors run for the
please,
love of God?
Guys, get out there and run.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these... And fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. Put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on this in 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue, and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gentlemen, this is The War Room. In studio with me is Tiffany Cianci at The Vino Mom on X and TiffanyCianci.com. That's C-I-A-N-C-I. C-I-A, huh? C-I-A. Interesting. I've never spelled that out before. We spent the whole first segment just sort of freewheeling conversation about, you know, the state of the world. But you brought a ton of information for us. We should probably get into it. Where should we start?
Okay, so a couple things we can jump into. One is that, just very quickly, I'm super upset about the fact that the DOJ last week just showed up for trial. There was a trial that the government and 27 state attorney generals had been prepping for that was on behalf of the Swifties. It was an antitrust case to break up Live Nation and Ticketmaster.
Oh, wow. Wait, so everybody knows that, you know, ticket prices are massively inflated because these companies monopolize it. Anybody who's ever been to a show experiences this. Young people especially are sensitive to this. So this would be something that would be a major political win with no downsides,
no
right?
No downsides.
Okay.
No downsides. So what happened was the morning of the trial, all of the state attorney generals showed up to begin the trial and they walked out and said, DOJ just settled with Live Nation. They gave, and the trial lawyer was not given notice. He was there ready to proceed. And somebody came in from the DOJ and was like, nah, we're good. Well, a bunch of the state, they continued the case and they tried to get all of the state attorney generals to agree to it. And they are not. The problem is a bunch of the Republicans are agreeing to it and a bunch of the Democrats are choosing not to and are continuing to go after them. I want to stress, I cannot stress this enough. If our government does not begin doing the work of breaking up corporate monopolies on behalf of their citizens and restoring competition in the United States, we are going to be living in the movie WALL-E and we're not far away. Okay? That's where we're at. Like a lot of people think WALL-E was about like avarice and that WALL-E was about, you know, big oil or like the pollution. WALL-E was not about any of those things. WALL-E was about what happens when one corporation gets control of the entire world and all of the politicians, no one can stop them. And it shows how everything gets bad. And yes, they create pollution. And yes, they destroy the world. And yes, they destroy the environment and they have absolute control and they control us. But WALL-E was about out of control antitrust behavior. Mm. That's what the movie was about. That's it. And we have had 6 cases in just the last 3 months where our DOJ has decided to settle a case for a pittance. And I mean a pittance. Okay. These companies make hundreds of billions of dollars a year and then they settle with them for like $2.5 million or like $10 million. We're talking about 0.004% of their annual revenue, right? It's a cost of doing business. We need to use the antitrust laws that were put into place through the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Robinson-Patman Act, and we need to break up these companies now. But for some reason, and I'm just going to say it, since Trump took office, every single case that was proceeding to break up a monopoly has stopped. Every single one of them.
Every single one.
Every single one.
So again, that's why I pointed out, like, especially with Ticketmaster, everybody knows about Ticketmaster. Young people hate Ticketmaster. They know how much money it costs them. So once again, the Republicans are like given this massive political victory on a golden platter, and they just knock it down to the floor and ignore it. It's ridiculous. It's outrageous.
But the donors, Harrison, the donors, they suffer. This was very stressful for them.
Probably,
They missed at least 3 golf games getting ready for this game.
Seriously. But like that's the thing. You know, all of these I think are important. All of them need to be championed by MAGA. Obviously, this, again, was always a part of the MAGA understanding of what MAGA even meant. It was never about strictly just, like, I don't know, whatever we're doing now, going to war with Iran. It was always a combination of being anti-big government, but also anti-big business, and understanding that, okay, yeah, governments can be tyrannical, but so can big tech, so can the companies that carry out this stuff in order to circumvent restrictions from the government. The government is there specifically to be the power of the people against the big organizations that individuals are too weak to actually combat. What the hell are we doing here? Why can we not get this done?
We just did the exact same thing with an antitrust case against PepsiCo. which was stacking the deck against small businesses in the United States. They were creating a system where big corporations like Walmart were getting pricing that was lower. They were selling stuff in their stores lower than small businesses could buy at wholesale.
Whoa.
And that's a huge violation of the Robinson-Patman Act, which says you cannot stack a deck so that small businesses can't get the same pricing incentives that big businesses get. It's to protect small business and to protect competition in the United States. And so Kroger and PepsiCo were both getting sued under that antitrust law. And when Trump came into office, he dismissed both cases. He didn't even get a settlement. He dismissed both cases. Okay.
And so that's what I thought the Kroger one, was it not about the variable pricing? Because I know variable pricing.
There's a separate case that was about dynamic pricing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know that.
Still, I think that still might be happening.
And that's something, there's a headline today about that where they're calling it algorithmic pricing. But yeah. Obviously, it's just another chance.
I know Instacart's got something going on with that right now, too. I've got to do some more research on. But we have these opportunities. We had the same thing. There were cases proceeding against Meta and Google and he's just tossed them. And by the way, he fired all of the people at the FTC that were actually doing this work. Alvaro Bedoya, Rebecca Slaughter, and Lina Khan, who I'm sorry, I don't care what anyone says. Lina Khan is the best thing that Biden ever did. She was the only person I've seen in our government that has worked purely for the American people. And she was the best antitrust attorney that we've had at the FTC in two generations. And, he fired her. He fired Alvaro Bedoya. He fired Rebecca Slaughter. And he hasn't replaced them. So there are no lawyers to argue any cases at the FTC. We have two commissioners at the FTC left. That's it for the entire country. That's it. That's what we got. And they're not doing anything for the American people. Nothing.
And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that exact sentence is, this person is the only one who was actually doing work and Trump fired him. Yep. I mean, it's happened with everybody. And just you know, off the top of your head, just like the number of people that the new MAGA has driven out. I mean, it's incredible. Joe Kent's just the latest, but I doubt he's going to be the last. I mean, how long are these people going to hang on? In fact, you had an article about turning against this one here.
Yep.
Donald Trump's aides reportedly tightened control over RFK Jr. amid MAGA backlash. So apparently Donald Trump is cracking the whip for old RFK Jr. So it's like, okay, sort of the last two good people even left are RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, and they seem like they're hanging on by their fingernails. It's just, it's relentless, man.
And I'm going to be super frank about this, okay? It was floated last week that he was doing some polling within his administration to see about firing Bobby.
Really?
And I want to be really frank. He said that Bobby had not successfully achieved controlling MAGA to keep them in line for the Republican Party. And I want to be very clear, okay? Donald Trump clearly rented MAGA voters for the 2024 election. He didn't buy them, I promise you. And all he would have to do to keep MAGA on his side is to stop undermining every single thing that Bobby wanted to achieve by surrounding him at every other agency with swamp creatures that are controlled and owned by Bear Monsanto. Period.
I know. Well, it's the same with everything. All he had to do was not go to war with Iran. All he had to do was actually deportations. It can't get done. So this is from USRTK. What does that stand for?
Yeah,
right to know. Right to know.
This is Stacey Malkin's report, and this was researched over the last year, and they've done an exceptional job with it. And what you're seeing here is that just in 2025 alone, we have $9.19 million in lobbying of Congress and the executive branch by Bear Monsanto and their 13 outside lobbying firms. They're paying 13 lobbying firms right now to get pesticide immunity. Okay? They have 45 lobbyists right now registering to lobby under Bear right now. And if you look, they have planted 19 individuals into Trump's administration to deliver pesticide immunity for Bear Monsanto. And in every part of his administration, they are surrounded. Okay? And when you look at these lobbying firms, right, what you really need to know is that one of the lobbying firms that has done the most work for Bear Monsanto was partnered by none other than Susie Wiles and Pam Bondi. And their biggest clients were Bear Monsanto and Pfizer. Of course, this is just after Susie Wiles was Benjamin Netanyahu's campaign manager in 2020. It was right after that job.
That's the thing. It's not even that we don't even know who's behind this stuff. Yeah. It's just like, okay, this person did this again. Again, this is why it's like reporting on a serial killer. It's like, okay, let me tell you about another corrupt thing that's happening that nobody does anything about. This is Brian Ballard. Ballard Partners, his firm employed Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and Attorney General Pam Bondi as partner/lobbyist. Ballard is also registered to lobby for the American Chemistry Council.
You know, that brings up this, which broke right before our show started. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see this yet.
I did see that.
U.S. House panel subpoenas AG Bondi in Epstein probe. So the committee that's investigating the DOJ's handling of Epstein files amid bipartisan concerns over excessive redactions and possible mismanagement have scheduled Bondi's deposition for April 14th. So apparently Pam Bondi is being hauled in front of the House Oversight Committee, where Chairman James Comer is going to question her about her treatment of the Epstein files. Obviously, you know, we've heard Thomas Massie basically say, look, the bill said if you were going to exclude something, you had to explain what it was and why you were excluding it.
Right.
They didn't do that. They're in violation of the law.
We've still only seen 3% of the files.
Right.
Harrison, like,
if
honestly.
If that. I think that's
right.
Even high.
Genuinely. Really. And so I can give you a preview of what that depo is going to look like because we've already seen her once. But the Dow's at 5,000, you know, like.
1,000, 50,000, exactly.
50,000. That's what we should be talking about.
Oh, my God.
The pedophiles are eating babies on islands.
What a disaster.
Now, I did see a really interesting interview today about a guy that was hired to decorate Jeffrey Epstein's estate.
Oh, yeah?
And he came out and he was like a world famous like interior designer. And he was being asked to decorate all of these rooms for his girls, like children's rooms.
Mm.
And he said he was so creeped out by it, he had to quit. And I'm sorry. I'm just done. I'm done. Okay, right now we've got the CIA investigating Tucker Carlson for journalism before we've got a single Epstein arrest. I don't have the patience anymore. Okay? They can keep telling me there's aliens in my backyard. And unless aliens are going to use their technology to get me the Epstein files, I don't care.
Yeah, it's like there are aliens in the backyard. Do they have ray guns?
Can they take me with them?
Yeah. Can we hire them for a little while?
Can
I
borrow
something? What type of weaponry do they have?
Like, give me some tech. I will put it to much better use than you guys are. I promise you.
That's honestly how it feels at this point, where they're like, if we didn't go, you know, attack Iran, Iran would have destroyed Israel. And we're like, really?
Oh,
how
no.
Quickly could they get it done? I mean, we're on a time crunch here. Yeah, everything they try to there's no defense for anything that's happening here. And it is, you know, Iran is just the ultimate expression of how far off the mark we are. But everything you're describing, the way Maha has been destroyed, I mean, who cobbles together the most unlikely political coalition of all time, has this amazing comeback in 2024, dominates the election, goes in with this mandate to rule, and then just squanders all of it. All of it has been squandered. All of it.
I mean, not all of it. He's made more money in his family in a year than he made in his entire career collectively, which is absolutely horrifying. He hasn't squandered all of it.
There you go.
He's made more money in 1 year for his family than he made his entire career collectively.
And it's like, what good is that money going to be when they are throwing you in jail, you idiot? Like,
correct.
They are going to get back in power and they did it
already.
And
that'll be their excuse for doing nothing for the next 2 years because that's what Israel's paying them to do.
Yep.
I mean, really, that's what we're going to look at here. Like, it feels like we're playing like ping pong ball for everyone except the American people. You know what I mean? Just bounce back and forth with any excuse, any port in a storm to not do anything for the American people. We have to stop electing these people. We have to.
Yeah. 100%.
Let's see. We have so much we need to go over and we only have like, what, 15 minutes left?
Well, there's this one. And this is related to the Maha stuff and the way that, and again, it's, I mean, we are truly under attack by legions, right? Like,
we are.
You see Bear, I mean, all these lobbying firms, all these lobbyists, like they are able to just pour money into this. Nobody's paying to stop it. Nobody is, there's no profit motivation in stopping this from happening. It's got to be us. It's got to be sweat equity that we put in. We don't have the money they do.
I have some action items.
People.
Okay. I have some action items we can do here. Okay, so first of all, today in Kansas, they had a bill to remove food dye from food that was going to be served for children. Like, you couldn't be served in schools, couldn't be served in anything that was government-funded.
Oh, good.
They were going to remove dyes from food, which sounds great.
That sounds great. So, you
doesn't
know, we don't like food dyes. Okay, so there's a bill to get rid of food dyes. What a wonderful idea. How'd that go?
This morning, they put pesticide immunity in that bill as an addendum.
Okay.
Naturally.
Of course.
They snuck it in there, naturally. of course they did. Of course they did.
I like this little comedy routine we've developed.
Of course they did.
You tell me something potentially good, I get excited, you slap it down with reality.
So,
it's great.
So let's talk about what we're going to do about pesticides, okay? Because pesticide immunity, they're finding a way, right? No matter what we do, it springs up. Last week, again, because we just knocked it out of the appropriations bill, so just in the last 2 weeks again, they have now put pesticide immunity into the farm bill.
They won't stop.
Now it's
They'll
in the
never
farm
stop.
Bill, everybody. And now it's in Kansas, and they're trying to do it in North Carolina, and they're trying to, they're everywhere, right? We want pesticide immunity. Because if we can't kill American farmers, let me tell you, we're going to stop doing business in America. Oh no.
Heavens forbid.
That would be terrible.
So this is from Alex Clark. She says, something no one is talking about. Big Chemical and Big Ag know Kansas Maha moms are not going to stand for their chemical liability shield this week. So they decided to hijack a bill on food dyes, KSSB 390, and hope nobody knows they snuck it in there today. The House Agricultural Committee amended it to include HB 2776, which, of course, is the pesticide immunity bill. These ghouls. They're absolute ghouls. It's so subversive. You got to keep your eye on them. They just snuck it in. They didn't want anybody to know this was happening. They're so sick.
But right now, in the House and the Senate, we have two bills that can fix this. Because once we codify it, there's nothing they can do. The Supreme Court can't even do anything. And that's the other thing. Trump once again betrayed Maha. Because he had his DOJ file an amicus brief in the Supreme Court case demanding they grant immunity to Bayer Monsanto.
Right.
Just 2 weeks ago. Okay. Right now we have two bills. We have Cory Booker's Pesticide Injury Accountability Act in the Senate. And we have the No Glyphosate Immunity Bill in the House that is co-sponsored by, naturally, Massey and Khanna. Doing the work they do. We have two bills right now that can be codified. And we need to put immense pressure on politicians to co-sponsor and vote for both of those bills. And we want them to be reconciled on the cross because they each do something different. One prevents executive orders from granting immunity and the other one prevents any state or, any Supreme Court case, from granting immunity because it codifies the right to private action if you are injured into law.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of the Epstein files too, and not forgetting like the importance of the Epstein files and what it reveals, kind of the most important thing I think about the Epstein files is the fact that the legislation was written to force the exposure. It's never happened before. I mean, typically it's almost assumed that like, well, if the DOJ says they don't want to release it, it's never getting released. No. This is the way our government's, this is the checks and balances. When the DOJ is corrupt, you use the legislature to force their hand. That's how it works. So
correct.
That's what we need to be doing. Taking the lesson of the Epstein files and going, look, the American people want something and the Congress can come together and break their bipartisanship to actually support something that the American people want. It goes into law and it doesn't matter who doesn't want it or does what. They have ways of messing it up, but it happens. It has to happen or else our whole system doesn't work. So like we have to use that. The legislature has to reclaim its power from the executive.
And on April 27th, if anyone's interested, on April 27th, there's going to be a massive rally outside the Supreme Court where we're all going to tell the Supreme Court exactly how we feel about pesticide immunity. I'm going to be there. You can come visit me.
April 27th outside of the Supreme Court. Is that when they'll be deciding the pesticide immunity?
That's oral argument day.
Okay.
And,
that's,
you know,
huge.
We want eyes on it. We want people talking about it. But that's also a day where we're going to be rallying people to call Congress all day long to get them to get support for these bills. Because, again, if this bill passes, that court case is moot. The ruling never comes. The Supreme Court is not there to force edict on the American people. The Supreme Court is there to enforce the laws that the legislature creates. If we codify this right of action into law, they have to uphold it. Okay? That's what they're there for. That's its purpose. So if you guys want to come visit on April 27th, we're going to be in D.C.
That's a great idea. And we do need more. You know, there's always a push and pull because so much of the protests that we've experienced in this country are fake, right? I mean, the Black Lives Matter, I mean, they're funded, they're organized, they basically exist only to give the appearance of public support for something that the powers that be want to do anyway. But we can't let that stop us from actually holding real protests and actually getting out and making our voices known. And we can't be scared because of what happened on January 6th not to go out and actually make statements and make ourselves known and draw the attention to something that needs attention. So that's sort of the perfect way to do it. April 27th in Washington, D.C. outside the Supreme Court, they'll be hearing oral arguments about pesticide immunity. And if you don't want to pesticide companies to be able to poison you and your family and not pay any price for it, maybe it'd be a good idea to go there, draw attention so the American people can learn what these arguments are actually about and who's actually doing it. Okay. Private equity, private credit. Is private credit's $40 trillion bubble about to burst? Jesus Christ.
Okay.
$40 trillion. Okay.
The very first time I came on your show was after was 1 year ago, which it feels a lot longer than that.
It feels
it was
like
1 year
decade.
Ago
yeah.
this week. I was here for South by Southwest and you had me on.
That's right.
And I'd had a massively viral video that I said in the next year, the private equity bubble was going to burst. That was a year ago next week. And 2 weeks ago, the private credit markets, which are the funding mechanism for almost all private equity at this point, it started to burst. It's bursting right now. We've already seen that private equity as a whole is in a death spiral. We know that there are out of control bankruptcies happening all across private equity. We're seeing more bankruptcies in healthcare than anywhere else, which is horrifying, right?
Yeah.
But private credit is sort of the fuel that keeps the fire going.
How is private credit different than private equity?
So private credit is banking outside of the oversight of the SEC banking system. Private credit is where after 2008, we started to crack down on some of the more risky lending possibilities. We started to crack down on how much liquidity banks had to have, how much they had to have in collateral for loans, things like that, which should always have been the case. Okay.
Right.
I don't like overregulation, but you need a certain amount of regulation to keep guardrails on the passions of the human condition that is just blatant greed.
Yeah,
okay. You
absolutely.
Need that. And so what happened was private credit started to rise up and fill that space. It was largely private equity firms that did that. It was Apollo, KKR, Blackstone, BlackRock started lending cash outside of regular banking to get liquidity flowing. And they started doing it with under collateralized obligations.
Okay.
Which is something that I've been saying for a really long time. And what happened was back in October, the cracks really started to show, right? A year ago, I said that Blackstone's Bright Fund was just a huge red flag for me. They said the value kept going up, but they froze withdrawals, right? They had to freeze withdrawals because they didn't have the cash to pay out their dividends.
Okay.
In the Bright Fund. And I thought that was the first really big warning bell. All of this debt has been issued adjustable. Right. It's what's contributed heavily to this big bankruptcy rise in private equity, owned leveraged buyout assets. But in the private credit markets, what happened was, in the last month or so, Blue Owl, was one of the largest private credit issuers, and they had some folks that got really nervous about some of their exposure in tech stocks that were under collateralized, and people started asking to draw down their investments, and they had to freeze withdrawals. Now, this is not the first time, but it got a lot worse. Okay. So what happened was UBS issued, an analysis. They had several AI, reviews of what could happen if AI actually impacts some sectors the way it's expected to. And it showed that more than 15% default rates could be very common in the next year to 2 years. In private credit markets.
Right.
And they got really worried. And that caused some people to say, maybe I need to move some of my money. But when they went to move it, the cash wasn't there.
No.
Okay. So Blue Owl was first to have to freeze. But it wasn't just Blue Owl. It spread pretty quickly. And then ultimately BlackRock and Blackstone had to freeze withdrawals.
Oh my God. This all happened 2 weeks ago?
This has all been happening over the last month.
Wow.
And it's just kind of spiraling out of control. And what happened was then JP Morgan said they're no longer giving money to private credit firms. They've halted any lending to private credit firms. And once JP Morgan does it, everybody else is going to do it.
This move from the largest U.S. lender extends a flurry of jitters across the roughly $2 trillion private credit market, with Wall Street juggernauts facing heightened withdrawal requests in recent weeks. Interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen much talk about this at all.
Nope. Nobody. They're trying very hard to keep nobody talking about this.
Wow.
But when Blackstone has to tell people you can't take your money out, when BlackRock has to say we don't have the... Blackstone had to send their executives to privately. Their executives had to go borrow $400 million against their own holdings to shore up their funds.
Well, you know what you do then. You go to war with Iran.
You go to war with Iran,
baby. You start a war. It solves all the problems.
Turn on that printing machine, baby.
Nobody's paying attention to the imminent collapse of the banking system because we're all tied up about the war we're waging in Iran for some particular reason, which might have something to do with the economic situation. Oh, my gosh. Well, incredible stuff as always. Time always flies when you're here. That's our hour. TiffanyCiancy.com, the Vino Mom on X, and, of course, follow her on TikTok and everywhere else you can find her, TiffanyCiancy.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Tiffany. Powerful once again.
Thanks. Always a good time.
It'll get better one day. I believe
one
that.
One day. One day.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy. And they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theallshowstore.com. And I thank you for your support.